Sex and the City, Candace Bushnell. Candace, this is my wife, Frida.
Yeah.
I can't believe Mike got nothing off this girl. I mean, I'm telling you, I'm sitting here right now looking at her with my wife on the phone. I've been married 20 years. I think I could lay you. I think I could.
Back yeah, but would I lay you, baby?
Well,
I'm thinking about Matthew McConaughey.
Hey, hey. The Don and Mike Show. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara Show. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara Show.
Hi. Welcome to our show.
The son of a beat.
Hello, everybody. You got the Don and Mike Show.
Yet another radio contest that's fake.
Yep.
I got to tell you why we're having Leah Remedy on the show today.
Okay. What are they doing? You've been chomping at the bit to tell me this.
Don't ruin it, Buzz.
I won't.
Okay, I know you know.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I don't know.
Okay. I know.
I don't know.
That Buzz knows.
Right.
But I know that Mike doesn't know.
Right. He said, I'm going to tell you this on the air. And he said, this is big.
King of Queens. Our show.
What are they doing?
That they've not come back to us yet to give us our speaking roles that they've promised us.
Mm-hmm.
They've already decided to move in one different direction, and they've hired Ricky Lake to be Kevin James' sister.
Yeah, they've added her to the cast.
They've added another cast member.
Oh, Jesus.
To play Kevin's wacky next-door neighbor.
Oh, they have a wacky neighbor now.
Yes.
Oh, my God. This is a known commodity, I take it.
This is a guy who's been on our show.
Really?
A guy who's been on our show, who's been an in-studio guest, both an on-telephone and in-studio guest on our show.
It's not Kevin Pollak, is it?
No, it's not. Oh, no. Kevin Pollak's
like an accomplished actor.
Yeah. Kevin Pollak is...
But his show went down the crapper, and sometimes when they have those little talent development deals, sometimes when a show is canceled, they surface on another sitcom. No.
Kevin Pollak is Tom Hanks compared to this guy. The new co-star of King of Queens.
Can I guess again?
Did you see the tapes?
No, I didn't, no.
Okay. Go ahead. I'll give you one more guess. You'll never get it.
No. Is it Mark Price?
No, although you know what I'd say?
What?
It's a worse hire than Mark Price.
Oh, my God.
It's a worse hire than Skippy from Family Time.
Give me one hint, and then you can tell me.
No, I give you a hint, and you'll get it immediately.
All right, go ahead and tell me.
Okay. Lou Ferrigno. Can you see why I couldn't tell you in the office, why I had to tell you here?
What? Lou Ferrigno.
Yeah.
The Incredible Hulk?
Yeah. Hello, Kevin. Hello, Gary. Doug, that's his name on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, Doug.
Hello, Gary.
It's me, your next-door neighbor, Lou Ferrigno.
I'm like speechless. I cannot believe that. I can't believe.
The producers...
I mean, it's all well and good to hire Lou Ferrigno to... But in a comedy?
The producers have once again turned their back on Don and Mike. First they hired Ricky Lake. Now they hired me, Lou Ferrigno.
Lou Ferrigno.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
This is Lou Ferrigno.
There he is.
I never, ever listened to Don and Mike.
He's the new wacky next-door neighbor, so...
They're out of their mind.
Actually, first they hired Florence Henderson, and then they hired Ricky Lake, and now they're hiring Lou Ferrigno.
What else?
That's three.
Just as a point of reference, Leah said that Florence Henderson would have a one-time shot. We asked her about that when she was on the show. She said that was...
She said also that Ricky Lake's role would be limited.
Yeah, the first season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, what do you mean? Well, what information do you have?
On all three of these characters, the story is that they will make their appearances. The Hulk will make at least one, and if it goes well, they plan on adding him to the cast as a permanent member.
If it goes well? When did he become a comic actor?
Ricky Lake gets six episodes. If that goes well, she'll be back in maybe all of them next year.
Here's Lou Ferrigno's audition, incidentally, for King of Queens.
Yes, I just finished a feature movie called Cage. It's an action adventure film dealing with a soldier who gets shot in the head and becomes mentally deficient.
How the hell are they going to write him into the show?
Hello.
The neighbor.
How are you? You're the fat UPS man. Boy, your wife is hot.
You know, there's a guy that's on another show that sounds like that. There's a guy that's
on another TV
maybe
show?
It's Becker. That has kind of a talk like that. He's not, I don't know whether he's deaf necessarily.
Think about the last time Lou Ferrigno was here.
I know.
On the show. And he was on the show the day that we had, what was it, Rob? We had
the nude wedding.
The day we had the nude wedding on the show, Lou Ferrigno was the honorary best man. And do you remember how tedious and painful the brief 5-minute conversation was that we had with him? I mean
he's
left his heart. He's a nice guy, and he's come on the show plenty of times, and he's been a wacky foil for us.
Well, he's a nice guy. He does have a sense of humor, and he's also obviously an accomplished bodybuilder, and he was a TV star because of his his physique and the Incredible Hulk. But I don't see him in a sitcom necessarily. I mean, that's just me. Maybe they have some unique and creative way of putting him in the show.
I don't see how.
I'd love to know whether there are any thoughts about putting him in the show. Are they just trying to get as many inexpensive names as they can?
The more I hear about this, the more I think we should maybe distance ourselves from this show.
I think you're right.
We can remain loyal to our good friend Leah Remini, mm-hmm. and we can wish her nothing but the best.
Mm-hmm.
But this show has got stinker written all over it.
Well, it's not like they're bringing anybody in that has any comedic experience.
Lou Ferrigno.
I mean, Ricky Lake.
I about fell on the floor today
when my phone rang.
Right.
And there's just this guy I know who said, hey, I was just watching CNBC. Mm-hmm. Guess who they hired on King of Queens?
Lou Ferrigno.
And he said that. And I said, no, come on. I know. They hired Ricky Lake. I already know this. And he said, no. Turn on CNBC right now. They're doing entertainment news. And I turned it on. And the picture they had was of him in his green makeup. They had a picture of him as the Incredible Hulk.
He was a big hit on that show.
Yeah. He's been hired as the wacky next-door neighbor on King of Queens.
Not necessarily a speaking part.
Hi there. How are you?
He's going to be the wacky next-door. And you're saying it's a one-shot deal, and if it works, they'll bring him on for more?
Initially, it's considered like a test balloon.
Really. Well, again, now, the report that I saw on CNBC said... They didn't say anything about test balloon. They said, he's been hired as the next-door neighbor on King of Queens. He's been hired.
Unbelievable.
So, anyway, we put a call into our favorite, to TV's Leah Remini, to ask her feelings on this latest development.
Why are they bringing so many supporting members on? What are their concerns?
I don't know.
Their concerns is, you know what, in all seriousness, being out there and watching that show, where they ought to be bringing on people is in the writing department. That's where they ought to be bringing in people, not in the cast.
Maybe Stiller's not well.
Yeah. Yeah, but even if the fist is not well.
Yeah, that's no problem.
I know I said we wouldn't call him that on the air, but even if Jerry Stiller's not well, you don't replace Jerry Stiller with Lou Ferrigno and Ricky Lake.
No, first of all, Lou Ferrigno, to my knowledge, no sitcom experience. I could be wrong about that. Ricky Lake was in, what's that movie with John Waters? When she was big and fat?
Awful movie. And
what was it?
Hairspray.
Hairspray. But she wasn't a comic actress.
And not to have it all... rotate back to us, but unfortunately it does rotate back to us. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're looking at a list of prospective wacky neighbors or friends, wouldn't you think, I mean, I understand, okay, Ricky Lake, she's had a TV show, you know, maybe she got some name recognition.
Right.
But if you're down, if you're so desperate that you're going to pick wacky next-door neighbors, wouldn't you think that we'd come up on the list before Lou Ferrigno?
I would think so. I think we'd be able to pull it off. I think we'd really be able to pull it off.
I think we, at the very least, should demand no more of this stuff with
an audition.
We want to come in.
None of this crap about being thrown. We want an audition.
We want to do a line on the show. No.
We want a screen test.
No. We want the chance to get one of these bit roles that they're giving away on the hit show King of Queens.
Exactly.
Because, listen, Lou Ferrigno is the last straw.
Hi, this is Lou Ferrigno.
Right.
I never, ever listened to Don and Mike.
And that was like five takes to get him to read that.
I've got the role, too. We could be the next-door neighbors. The chronic arguing brothers.
Yes.
I mean, we're passionate arguments all the time, which we'd be very good at.
Sure. I mean, you know, whatever role you put us in. And I think that's what we say to her today. Say, Leah, love you. Love you so much. You're great. You're a great friend. But frankly, you know, Florence Henderson plus Ricky Lake plus Lou Ferrigno.
I mean, really, what we call the Titanic right now?
just run a test pattern, baby.
How's that other show? What's the deal with that other show?
8 o'clock on Monday night. I don't know what the deal is with them either. They were so hot for us for a while.
Yes,
and and now...
You know what it is? They're probably getting a real good buzz around CBS, and they're like, yeah, okay, we don't need any help.
Yeah, they've disappeared off the radar screen now.
Charlie, do you know anything about that? That's your contact.
Hey, Charlie, what has Greg Garcia had to say?
Anything new about the...
That's the boy producer of Yes, Dear, which was...
The program Yes, Dear.
The show that we were going to jilt King of Queens for.
Right. Right.
We were going to run out on King of Queens because this guy on Yes, Dear wanted us. Mm-hmm. Hi, Charlie. Have you talked to Greg?
A couple weeks ago. They're working on... Not since that last project you did for them.
Oh, that big voiceover.
Right. Right. They're still working on scripts that would have you out there.
Have you mentioned... Did you talk to Leah yourself today?
Not yet.
Oh, not yet. Okay. So I was wondering if you'd mentioned the Lou Ferrigno.
No, I didn't.
Hiring to her.
Didn't mention it to Jamie.
What the hell's going on with that show? That's what we have to start wondering.
So we're going to call her at home later today?
Yes, we are.
Yeah, okay. All right, beautiful. I mean, beautiful.
Beautiful. I would assume they're going to incorporate his deafness into the script, I think. Who knows?
That's a slap in our faces of a deaf guy. If a deaf guy gets the role and they write him in as a deaf guy.
We could play deaf.
Of course we could.
We could play deaf. Mm-hmm.
Listen, I've maintained this all along, that you know why Tom Hanks got the Oscar for Forrest Gump? Because it's so easy to play a retard.
Yeah.
You know, we could play the retarded guys next door. I mean, we could be like Cameron Diaz's brother in Something About Mary.
Hell, we could play homos, the next door homo neighbors.
Yeah, I like that idea.
You know, there's like a combination of all. We could be the deaf homo retarded neighbors who live next door.
Absolutely.
I mean, I don't care.
Be fantastic.
Whatever role you put us in,
I'd break into television.
We've got to fill that role better than Duke Farigno.
I think they don't realize our range, Don. Yeah. We can play sophisticated. We can play country bumpkin.
Yeah, they don't recognize our range, but they recognize the range of Duke Farigno.
We can play gay. We can play straight. Okay. We can play anything.
That's too funny. That is too funny. Okay, now, item number two. We're so depressed with the J.O. tapes that we've received.
Nothing's come in of any...
No, listen, I can't say that we're not getting tapes.
Uh-huh.
We're getting tapes. I come in again today. I come into the office, and I see our mailbox is full of Airborne Express, U.S. Post Office overnight boxes. I go, wow, the tapes are piling up.
Mm-hmm.
We put them in the machine. And they're all tapes of guys goofing around.
Like that one guy that I saw?
Yeah. They're all exact copies
of that?
Of that.
Were they just guys making faces and stuff like that?
Yeah, guys pretending that they're Jim Carrey.
I don't get that. Well, no. We do have technically, you know, two that can't win that one. Three. We have three that really can't.
Three. Mm-hmm. We have three, but we certainly need more than three. So
oh, yeah.
More than
not
three.
Even a contest if there's just three.
You know, the trip is a good prize.
Yeah.
A trip to Los Angeles to go to CBS. Who knows? Maybe you'll be able to go to the taping of King of Queens to see the debut of Duke Farigno.
Sure.
So once again, we implore our audience, please, take this contest seriously.
Yeah, I mean, we don't want goofy tapes. We want you to really do it and just put the camera on yourself from the shoulder up and send us the tape, both men and women, and we'll be the judge. If you're just normally doing it, and it's funny, like that one guy who, you know, reached forward and turned off the camera.
That's the winner.
He was funny. He didn't do any, no goofy faces. He was just doing it.
He just was J-O-ing. So please, take this contest seriously.
The guy that so far is our leader was looking right at the camera. That was the funniest thing. With no expression on his face.
Yeah,
we were cracking up.
The guy who looked like John Denver.
Yeah, you don't have to make it funnier.
You know, we extended the contest because so many people called in the office of Charlie Broyhill voicemail saying I want a winner.
Mm-hmm.
And we've received, this week alone, maybe 10 or 11 tapes, but none of them is even worth bringing in here and putting on the big screen because everybody's just goofing around.
I still maintain I think the Joe Gibbs guy was phony, too.
So
he was faking it.
Send your tapes in. The J.O. contest lives. This could be the greatest contest we've ever done.
Absolutely.
But we have to have more people take it seriously.
Yeah.
Because we do take our contest seriously, even our J.O. contest.
Mm-hmm.
Unlike, and listen, I found this out today. You know the contest? Remember last week I told you I was goofing on Jam and Oldies?
Yeah.
When they had a winner, because their whole big thing is that they give away $10,000 an hour,
mm-hmm.
and that they had a winner on, and the winner sounded disinterested.
Yeah, right.
And the disc jockey was trying to hype it up.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I finally figured out why the winner sounded so disinterested and why it was so choppy with the disc jockey screaming and going, "You've won $10,000!" And like a bad connection with the person going, "Hello, that's great, I won $10,000. The reason is that the station here in D.C. is doing that thing that we talked about.
Where it's a nationwide contest?
Oh. 3 or 4 months ago, where all of the Clear Channel stations in all the markets where they have this bad Jam and Oldies format, I mean, New York, Boston, Philly, D.C.
So $10,000 a day for all the markets.
Yes, and I spent a large portion of the day today, because we were out running errands, and I had to go to Redskins Park, do all the crap I do on Wednesday, take my kid to school, do all that stuff, listening to Jam and Oldies. And only once did I hear a disclaimer. Only once.
But you heard it.
I heard a disclaimer. Now, I heard a million promos that say, every Thursday, we're giving away $10,000 an hour from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Only once did I hear a disclaimer. And it was one of those that was like at the end of a car dealership tag.
Right.
Where basically what the guy said is, this is a national contest.
National contest, run the market.
Run among like 25 different radio stations.
So it's not one radio station giving away 10 grand every Thursday.
Wow.
It's like 30 radio stations.
And my theory is, when I heard the winner last week, the winner that they played back, the reason that they got nothing out of it was that it was somebody like from Cincinnati who won the money.
There you go.
And they just play the tape down.
Sure.
A satellite line,
mm-hmm.
and then the local disc jockey in Washington, and I'm sure they do this in New York and in Boston.
It's so horrible.
Sleazy.
The other
it is sleazy.
They just splice in their disc jockey saying, "You've won $10,000." Right?
And the guy goes, "Yeah, great.
God.
That sucks.
It totally sucks. I mean, because it's all about odds of winning.
It sucks. And I'm telling you that this station here in D.C., and I'm sure it's the same in New York, where they have the same awful format on their station up there, I'm sure they're doing it the same way.
Mm-hmm.
They do not present it to the audience in an honest fashion where they're saying, "Listen, we've got about 15 or 20 radio stations doing this contest all at once.
We're dividing up this $10,000 pie where one of the 15 radio stations is going to, you know, give you the $10,000. No. Could be any of them."
They're making it sound like
that they're giving it away.
They're giving away mm-hmm. $100,000 every Thursday. And I said, when I talked about this contest last week, I said, "Oh, it's a desperate move by a desperate station."
Is it 10 grand or $100,000?
It's $10,000 an hour for 10 straight hours.
Oh, okay.
So they're promoting it as the fact that they're giving away every Thursday.
So you would think that that radio station in and of itself was coming up with $100,000 of promotional money to give away.
And I said last Thursday it wouldn't matter because the station sucks anyway. Nobody
right.
listens to it. But now I have finally noodled it through.
Yeah, it's a very sleazy thing to do.
They're really doing it on the cheap.
It's misleading.
And I know we had talked about this before, and it had been done in primarily medium to small markets.
Mm-hmm.
This is the first time I think it's been done in the major markets. And I just want everybody to know, it's such a freaking ripoff.
Yeah, it really is. It sucks.
It's such a ripoff, and I heard the disclaimer.
It's a phony way to get you to listen.
And maybe they can get away with it by running a disclaimer once every 24 hours.
It's like when a car dealer, you know, takes out an ad and puts this great car in the newspaper. Then you get to the dealership and you realize, well, it doesn't have a steering wheel.
Yeah, right.
You know?
Whoops.
This contest is applicable to all clear channel stations. Your odds of winning are dependent upon the odds of number of people who are listening at any time. If you have any comments or complaints, please call Clear Channel Communications, Cincinnati, Ohio.
That's not enough. A disclaimer is not enough.
No,
that's not good enough.
No, it's not. And I don't see why.
The promo should come out and say, mm-hmm. every single Thursday, every Clear Channel station is giving away $10,000 an hour all day long.
Right. I don't know why. I don't know why it is so tough to come out and be honest with the people listening to say, "Listen,
right.
we have this same suck-ass format on about 15 of our stations.
Right.
God damn, we're getting killed by it. We got to throw some money at it."
Or do $1,000 an hour.
But frankly, we don't have enough money to give away 100 grand a day. But
do $500 an hour, you know, with better odds for people to win in that market.
There you go.
But technically, you know, if all the stars align correctly, you know, maybe you could win $10,000, but really, your chances of winning are dick because you're competing with New York, Boston, Philadelphia, Detroit,
you know,
Providence.
What would be a great thing to do for someone to call that radio station and say, "How many, since you started this contest, how many winners have been from Washington, D.C.?
Uh-huh.
That's all you'd need to ask them. You just call and ask them right now. Call that Cincinnati number.
I'll call right now.
Good. And just ask them, how many winners have they had from Washington, D.C.?
I'll call,
as in local and national 411.
Blah, blah, blah.
What city and state?
Washington, D.C.
What listing?
The business line for
WJMO.
WJMO.
Thank you. Please wait while the operator looks for that number.
Can you grab the number for me, please?
Grab the number, and then we'll call and find out. And just ask him. It's a simple question.
Mm-hmm.
How many winners have you had from Washington, D.C.? Do you know the name of the contest?
$100,000 Thursday.
In the $100,000 Thursday contest, how many $10,000 winners have you had from the Washington, D.C. area?
Be interesting if they refuse to say, wouldn't it?
Well, they might have, what if they have, they might have 15. You know, who knows?
They should have to say.
No way they have 15 to be lying. Thank you, Rob.
Beautiful. Gotcha.
Radio stations don't lie, Don. They are as pure as the driven snow.
I'm sure I'll have to.
Jamming.
Oh, hold on. Hey, how you doing? Hello?
Oh, they already hung up. Missed them.
All right, let me call back.
Hold on.
Ay, ay, ay.
We be jamming. We be jamming. We're giving you a chance to win $100,000 Thursday. Yeah, we didn't mention the fact. Real quickly, we'll mention the fact we're doing it on all our radio stations across the country.
Scamming oldies.
Okay. Now I got them off the air.
Good. It's a simple question.
Yes. Is this jamming oldies? I have a question about your $100,000 contest. I just heard that it's a big ripoff, that it's really a giant thing with all of your radio stations. Can you tell me, is that true? I need promotions. Thank you.
There you go. You have your answer right there.
Promotions.
Something tells me they're already, like everybody in this market.
Yeah, they're all hip to what's going on. Well, everybody listens to this show. They know what's going on. Sure. We have a target. Everybody knows to get out of our sights.
The problem is we can't put their voices on the air. We have to ask their permission.
And dive into the ditch.
Don Mike. And now nobody's picking up the phone in the promotions.
Don and Mike are talking about us. They're saying our contest is sleazy. Quick, into the basement.
You've reached Paula Johnson. I'm not available to answer your call. Leave a message and I'll return your call.
Press zero. Maybe you go back to the operator.
I want to transfer to somewhere else. Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Push pound, okay.
Good.
If you want to be transferred to someone who's taking calls.
You had to talk to the general manager.
I know him.
What's his name?
The little prick Bennett Zier.
Is that who that is?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he runs that station.
He had it in for us, so they all had it in for us at one time or another.
Yeah, hi, I have a question about your contest. Well, how about the general manager? How about the program director? Thank you.
Program director?
Yeah.
Good. Now I'm happy.
This bitch on the telephone could not be more uncordial.
Mm.
She's like, no one answered her promotions. Yes, I know. How about the general manager? Bennett's not in. How about the program director?
Do you think they know it's us?
Yeah, of course they do.
All right.
Hello, Vinny? I have a question about your contest. First off, I love your station. I love the music. No, I'm not saying that. And the contest on Thursday where you give away $100,000, how do you guys afford that? Oh, a collective effort. Among how many stations? How many? Among 10 stations. Oh, well, but that's not fair because you don't say that. I've not heard you say that. When you say it, you say we're giving away $10,000 an hour, but you're really not. But no, you can't because you're playing against people from 10 other radio stations.
This is Norm Peterson.
Well, how come you don't say that? I think it's unfair. It's like going to a carnival where you're throwing the ball at the milk cans, but the milk cans have weights on the bottom of them. When I listen to your station, I don't hear you guys say, you can win $10,000, but you're competing against listeners in 10 other cities. How come you don't say that?
Yeah. How come?
You give out the 1-800 number, but how come you're lying to the people listening, though? You're making it sound like you're giving away the money every hour. You never say that you are giving away the money. How do your promos read? Don't the promos say you can win $10,000? They're not. But how come when you run these promos, how come you don't say on the air to the listeners, you make it sound like you guys are giving away the money when really it's all the stations? You don't say that you give it away, but do you come out and say that someone, for instance, in Boston has won the money? No. So what happens on the hours when you play a record? Like, let's say you're going to...
How many winners they've had from Washington?
How many winners have you had from Washington? How many winners have you had from Washington? Yes.
Tough one for him.
You'd have to go back and check. You've had no winners from Washington?
No winners.
You've had 10 winners, but can you tell me you've had 10 winners? Can you tell me how many were from Washington? Off the top of... You couldn't.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen.
So how many winners were from Boston? If you run a contest...
That is great.
How do you do this with your listeners when you announce the record and then you play the record... And then if the winner is from, like, a city like Cincinnati, Don't you think that you're pulling the wool over your listeners' eyes because you guys don't say, hey, the winner is Joe Blow from Cincinnati? No, because the winner can win $10,000 an hour. So what do you do if the guy who wins the contest lives in Cincinnati? How do you guys announce it? You give the winner's name, but you don't say where he's from? No, not necessarily.
Fantastic.
See, I told you, it's a freaking lie.
To the best of his knowledge, no winners from Washington.
And to the best of your knowledge, no winners from Washington.
Yeah.
He thinks none of the people who have won $10,000 will think that they're lying. Mm-hmm. But how many of the people who listen to the radio station in Washington, D.C. will think you're lying? I mean, I'm sure the guy in Cincinnati who won $10,000 or the guy in Boston who won $10,000 doesn't think you're lying. And don't you think it's lying? Don't you think it's lying? But don't you think it's lying? Just let me throw you just out a set here, something that happens. Let's say that you guys get on the air and you announce the Brothers Johnson. When you hear that, call and win $10,000. And the winner's from Boston. And then you get on the air in D.C. and you say, we want to congratulate Mike Elston, who just won $10,000, but you don't say that Mike Elston doesn't live in D.C. You don't say that he lives in Boston. Don't you think that's lying? To the people who are listening to the radio station. No, well, when have you told the truth? You've told us that that winner won the money. But you've not told us that that winner doesn't live in this city.
Or is listening to your radio station.
My point would be that you're lying. You're lying. You're doing
it's a
contest.
Sleazy. It's
you're,
a sleazy.
You're doing a sleazy contest. Yes, a sleazy contest.
Sleazy.
You don't see how you follow? Have you? What do you do at the radio station? Yeah. Programming assistant. Okay, well, I'll tell you what I do on the radio. I talk on the radio.
On the Don and Mike show.
On the Don and Mike show. And when we do a contest at any other radio station that I've ever worked at, you're bull-essing people if you tell them that somebody's won 10 grand, but you don't tell them that that winner's from out of the market. You have lied to them. Please. Now you know you're talking to a radio guy. Please. Don't talk to me like I'm some stupid listener. you've told them who the winner is, but you've not told them where the winner lives. Right?
Because you want them to think that they're giving away the money.
My point would be that you're lying, that you want people to think that the winners are local when really the winners aren't local. You want people to win, be Belinda, but okay, here's what this guy just said. He says, we want people to believe they'll win $10,000 an hour.
Right.
But the stupid people that they are, they believe it.
They think you're giving it away, and everybody's giving it away.
Because you don't tell them the whole story. Yes. How would you like to come on the air with me and discuss this? You have no desire to go on the air? Come on, please go on the air with me for a second. Please. Well, you've had the time to talk. Listen, this whole conversation's been on the radio already. I'm just holding the phone up to my ear.
His voice is not up.
Your voice has not been on the air, but this whole thing's been on the air. So it's best for your part if you just come on the air. Yes. Who is this? Oh, it's LBVD.
Albie!
Hey, LBVD, will you go on the air with us? Yeah. Well, we're doing a show now, too. I know. Albie, listen, we're just talking about this phony contest you guys
are running. Albie doing afternoons there now?
Yeah.
LBVD.
Yeah. It's phony, Albie. The money is like being given away to people in Cincinnati and Boston. It's 100% phony, Albie. Listen, Albie, this isn't between me and you. This is between me and your program director. Yeah.
Ask Albie if he'll come on with us.
Love you, too. Albie won't come on with us.
He won't come on with us?
He's a good guy.
He is a good guy.
Albie VD's a good friend of ours.
Very good guy. Is that the PD or the programming assistant?
Hey. Okay, you're back. So will you come on the air with us or not?
He won't.
You don't have the time. You've had the time. We've been on the phone for 15 minutes.
Come on, give us 60 seconds.
Just give us 60 seconds to answer.
Come on, the Don and Mike show for 60 seconds.
Just to answer the questions about how the contest is run. I mean, if you've got nothing to hide, this would be a great promotion for you. We're number one, 12 plus. Imagine. People have a 1-800 number when they hear the song title, but they don't know they're competing against people in other cities. Listen. Okay, you're lying. You're lying. Come on, you know you're lying. You're doing this contest on the cheap. You're absolutely doing this on the cheap. I'm giving you the opportunity to come on our airwaves and defend yourself, because right now, people are just hearing my point of this conversation. Come on, how about it? How about it? The last time I checked the ratings, Albie VD's back on. Yes, we play Lotto, Albie. Okay, but when I play the Lotto, I play the Virginia Lotto. I don't play the National Lotto. And if I play the National Lotto, I'm told that I'm playing the National Lotto. When do you say on the air that you're competing with listeners in other markets?
You throw it on a disclaimer very infrequently.
When do you run your disclaimer? How many times have you run a disclaimer? Albie, are you playing a record now? Will you come on the air? Or will you get in trouble if you come on the air? He would get in trouble. Yeah. All right. All right. All right. Albie, love you. Okay, bye. Bye.
They're gone.
That was great.
How many winners do they ever watch you? I'll have to check.
None. Yeah.
It's a scam.
It's a sleaze contest.
I mean, we've discussed the scam before. It's just sure. Now it's happening in our backyard. I mean,
you know, they're putting promos on that are making it sound like that individual radio station is giving away $100,000 a day on Thursday, and they're not. They're giving it away, dividing it between 10 different radio stations.
And you know, this would be a great story for a good radio columnist. In a newspaper,
oh, absolutely.
Right?
Not a chance he picked.
Not a chance good in hell.
Good story. Here's what Vinny, the program director, was saying to me.
Vinny stayed on with you for a good long time. I think Vinny was maybe a little inexperienced.
Vinny said, but we do announce the names of the winners. Mm-hmm. I said, yes, but you don't say where they live. Right. He said, but we announce the winners.
Yeah, that's he was talking to you like you were a listener.
Yeah,
I mean, it's total BS.
So, you know, technically, yeah, mm-hmm. they do give away 10 grand. It's mm-hmm. just they're not giving away 10 grand to somebody who lives here.
Anybody that's heard those promos, there's only one operative question. How many winners have they had from Washington? And obviously the answer is zero.
Yeah,
they've had no winners. They've had 10 overall winners in the contest, zero from Washington.
Because you know if they had one from Washington, they'd be promoing the hell out of that.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's not like the National Lottery. It's like a regular radio contest. They're making it sound like if you listen to our radio station is going to give you on Thursday a chance to win $10,000 an hour, and it's not true.
Right.
You're competing with 10 other cities.
It's just too bad that they don't have the balls to admit it.
Right.
You know, and I don't see why they don't. I still think it would be a decent contest if you just came on and you were honest with people. Said, listen, you know what? The station sucks ass. We got no ratings. Frankly, we're not made of money. So what we're doing is we're pooling the money together from all of our suck-ass radio stations.
Yeah.
But frankly, your odds of winning are better because nobody listens to this goddamn format in any of the cities that it's on in.
See, your odds are still better than, like, Lotto.
And that's what Albie.
That's what they want to say. Your odds are better than Lotto.
That's what Albie VD said to me. Hey, Don, did you ever play the lottery? Yes. And what I said though was true. Yeah, I played the lottery. I played like the Virginia lottery or the Maryland lottery when I know my odds. When I want to play against everybody in the country, I'll play Powerball.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
Right.
For a much bigger jackpot. See, that's the thing. You'd have to get it, realize just how cheap that. You're talking about 10 radio stations in big cities.
Yeah.
And it gives you a little perspective just how cheap they're being.
Jesus Christ. I mean, at least say this about CBS. CBS is a cheap freaking company, but we don't hide it from you.
No.
We come on and we tell you, listen, you know what we got to give away? Dick.
Right.
We got nothing. You never hear us with great stuff to give away.
Well, sometimes we give away good stuff. When we give away good stuff, we give away good stuff.
Yeah,
we give away good money. We give away cash money. I think when a radio station gives away, or a show, when we give away $100, $500, that's better than what they're doing because you have much better chances to win.
Yeah, well,
we give away tons of crap on this show. Yes, a lot of it's crap, but it's good crap.
I just think it's BS. It's more the way that the radio stations lie to people.
It is.
Listen.
You know, it's something where you and I, really, and I mean this, I swear to God, would not pull that crap.
No.
We wouldn't do that.
No, we wouldn't do that. As a matter of fact,
we've had sleazy contests that we bailed out of.
When we worked at WAVA, the station we worked at before we worked here, they wanted us to do something similar. They wanted,
very similar.
They wanted to give away $1,000, and like they'd have the midday girl, Sandy Weaver, give the money away. And what they wanted us to do then was take the tape of the winner the next day on our show,
right,
and cut out Sandy Weaver's voice, the disc jockey, and put our voice in.
Like,
and,
like fake it like they'd won on our show.
Right. And we refused to do it. We said, listen, you know what? We think that's goddamn illegal.
It's all about stretching the cash in the radio business.
Oh, yeah.
All about stretching that cash.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah, and I bet that Vinny guy right now has got his balls nailed to the wall. when Bennett Zier, when the GM from that station comes in.
Why did you talk to him? Why did you talk to him? Why did you talk to him?
And he had no good answer.
No.
None of his answers are good. Well, we've announced.
You had it figured out. If you hadn't had it figured out, he may have been able to worm his way around it. But you had it. I mean, going in, you knew exactly what they were doing, and that was the power of the situation.
God damn. And you know, the thing is, the people will never be able to be heard in that situation. Because a station like that that plays a box of records, they'll never take a live telephone call, so no one could ever get through to bust their balls.
And you bet your bottom dollar that if they do get a winner from Washington, that will be all over that radio station.
Right.
They'll do a customized promo. It is so sleazy. It is so purely sleazy.
But the guy says we do announce it. I said, well, what if the person lives from Boston? Well, we don't say that.
Right.
But then you're not announcing the truth.
Hey, Joe Blow from Cincinnati, you just won $10,000 on DC's Jammin' Oldies.
It's a lie of omission.
How crappy is that? Well, I tell you, it's a hell of a signal we got on DC's Jammin' Oldies, going all the way to Cincinnati, where we just gave one of our listeners $10,000.
Damn!
Funny.
If they put half as much thought into really trying to program a radio station as they do into trying to scam listeners.
How to deceive the public.
Right.
Oh, and it really is. You got to remember, when they do something like this, this is the brain trust. This comes right down from the corporate programmers. This comes down from the national program directors, okay? This is a bunch of guys sitting in an office devising this. This doesn't come from the little peon that's programming the local station.
No, this is a corporate directive where they say that we're going to do this as a company.
Hey, amen, and we'll make it sound, every station will sound like they've got $100,000 to give away on Thursday. It's brilliant.
You know, meanwhile, nobody has the balls to stand up and say, you know what I really think we should do? We should stop playing Super Freak every hour.
Right?
We should stop playing Aw, Freak Out every day. We should maybe change our format.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, that's the latest on that.
Mm. Radio exposed.
Christ. You know, one of these days we'll find someone who's got the balls to go on the air with us.
Yeah, you can't blame him for not going on. I mean, I'm surprised he stayed off the air as long as he did. You know, and you know, the usual modus operandi for when you've done things like that before is click.
Yeah,
because usually what's happening is about 2 minutes into the conversation, the door flies open and he goes,
"You're on the air. It's Don. You're on the Dynamite Show. You moron. Hang up. Hang up." You are on the air.
God damn. People.
What do you sound like? Do you sound like Bert?
No, it was a brother.
Oh, okay. All right.
Hey, this is Vinny.
Vinny.
Hey, this is Vinny. How can I help you?
Vinny.
And at first when I said, like, hey, I love the station, hey, all right. Thank you, man.
Sure.
Thank you, man. Yeah, hey.
Albie. How did Albie get hip to the fact that it was
obviously, you know.
Somebody called him, probably.
Yeah. Or who knows, you know. What's he got to do during those same 10 records he plays every day? He's probably listening to the show right now.
Just cut the holes lower in his tank tops.
Hey, Albie VD is a good guy.
Remember him with his tank? I remember he always wears the big. Do you think he still wears those? The big tank tops that go all the way down, like, to his belt line?
Yeah, his gangster hats.
Albie VD. We see him all the time.
Hello. Don and Mike Show.
Hi, Don and Mike. How you doing?
Hey.
Hey, Buzz.
Hey.
Same thing happened here in Rochester last year. They started a thing. One of the FM stations did a show like that where they give away $10,000 a day. And it was the same thing. They, you know, hyped it up and told you even what hours they would play the song in.
Yeah.
But never told you that it was like 10 or 15 different markets.
Right.
And they got so many complaints that the local fish rap here did a story on it. And where they went in and they interviewed some of the radio people and came out with a story in the paper like a day or two later and explained the whole
thing. They must have had a real newspaper up there. Yeah. With a real. That won't happen here.
Not a chance that'll happen here. Not to mention the fact, we've already covered this whole angle when we heard about it happening in Wichita like 6 months ago.
Yeah, exactly. It's happened before.
With the same, it was Clear Channel back then that was doing it.
You know what's sleazy is the guy that comes up with the original idea, the first guy to do it. What's even sleazier is the people that steal that idea, okay? Because you're not only running a sleazy contest, you're running a sleazy contest that's not even your own idea.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike.
Yeah.
This is right from Anchorage.
Who are you?
Alaska.
Dorian.
Oh, Dorian? Oh, you're calling from Anchorage, Alaska. Gotcha. Hello.
I am.
Hi.
Yeah, we had a station up there doing the same crap, too.
Well, in Alaska.
We like explorers, and it was with radio stations all up and down the Pac Northwest.
Yeah, you gotta give them a little, you know, cut them a little slack in Alaska, okay? I mean, they're doing the best they can.
Yeah, well, they do better now they got you guys.
Right. Well, God damn, it wasn't our station that was doing that, was it?
No, it was one of the local guys advertising for a national someone.
They shouldn't be giving you cash up there in Alaska. They should be giving you pelts.
Fish.
Blubber.
Thank you, my friend. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Oh, yes. I'm trying to find out a station that y'all might be on in Tampa, Florida area.
What's that?
Trying to find out if y'all have a radio affiliate.
Hey, it's
Tampa.
It's Lou Ferrigno. Hey, Lou, how'd you get that gig on King of Queens?
I'm just special, I guess.
Just special.
You are special, Lou.
Congratulations.
No, Lou, we got canceled in Tampa a long time ago.
Yeah, it doesn't look like we'll be coming back anytime soon.
All right, I've been out of the country. I've missed y'all, so I'm just...
Where you been? What part of the world you been in?
I've been over in Germany.
Germany.
Well, listen, look forward to your appearances on King of Queens.
All right, thanks a lot.
Thank you. Lou Ferrigno, the Incredible Hulk, checking in.
That's terrific. His voice has gotten higher. He's got those steroids.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Hold on. About steroids?
Yes.
You know, I don't give a crap about the Olympics. And really, I don't give a crap that they all take steroids. They all do. All of our guys do. All of their guys do.
I got a funny story to tell you about that, too.
The thing that's funny is the fat guy who's the husband of the girl who runs fast.
Right.
The guy who's gotten busted for taking steroids now, and he says that all he was doing was eating Metrex bars and eating EAS stuff. I read in the newspaper today that the percentage of the steroid in his system was 2,000 times the amount that would be found in anyone normal.
Wow.
Okay? And his answer to that is, well, I'm bigger than the average person.
So he eats more.
Yeah, I'll give you that. Okay. He looks like a big guy. Maybe weighs 350.
Wow.
A lot of muscle.
Right.
Still, in this test, he was 2,000% over the legal limit for steroids.
I was watching weightlifting today, and I saw a guy get a bloody nose, like bust a nose vessel while he was lifting that weight. Mm. And the guy that... Brian, the guy that's my trainer, and he does that kind of stuff, and he says he's not a weightlifter, but he does a lot of the weight work, and he says that in some of these competitions, the real heavy guys with the weightlifting that lift the amazing weights have hemorrhoids, and when they lift the weight, that a lot of times that they will strain so hard that they will actually burst, and they'll have to blot their butts because they're bleeding from the butt. When they're lifting up those those weights, because they, you know, it's just such an incredible. And then, you know, in the middle of this, we're watching this competition, and you see this Russian guy that just is a walking hemorrhoid. You know, he looks like it. You know, and I was kind of looking around to see if there was any blood after he did that.
So this guy's having his press conference today,
right?
And I'm seeing it. He's like, hey, I don't want to take anything away from my wife. She's
very sad for his wife.
She's here to win the gold medals, but I'm telling you, I didn't do anything wrong, and I'm thinking, wait, I read you were 2,000% over the legal limit. And then the absolute ironclad that this guy is guilty, they pan the camera back, and Johnny Cochran standing next to him.
there you go.
Mr. Johnny. And then a reporter says, why is Johnny Cochran here if you're not in any trouble, if you didn't take these steroids? He says, and Johnny Cochran steps in, and... You know that way he talks? Johnny Cochran almost has a lisp, almost.
Yes.
He's got this thing happening.
Yes, it's like this. That's the way it is.
I am here simply as a friend.
Right.
You just got on a plane and flew from Los Angeles to Sydney, Australia, just as a friend.
Smell the money.
Right.
Smell the money.
That's when you know when your ass is grass.
Yeah.
When you see Johnny Cochran nearby.
Yeah, the IOC right now is just get ready. Here it comes. Lawsuit train coming.
Jesus Christ. I mean, but who cares? They all take steroids. I'm positive our women's softball team takes steroids.
No, those girls are one. Don't you slam them. They are 100. First of all, they're
take
beautiful.
Look. Take a look.
They're
at
gorgeous,
them.
And they're 100% natural. No, Donna, there's certain things I won't accept on this show. They are gorgeous, beautiful, and shapely women.
And check out NBC's coverage. You've got this guy, the fat guy who's the husband of the wife who's going to run real fast, and they're saying, oh, this is an awful tragedy. He says he didn't do it. We should give him the benefit of the doubt. Meanwhile, there's this Russian or Ukrainian girl. She's about 16. One of these girls who started doing gymnastics in the womb, okay?
Right. I think the gymnastics...
She took Sudafed or something, but she had a cold.
Right.
They took her medal like that.
Yep. She's out of there.
And we're going, you know what? That's right.
Right.
Bully. Mm-hmm. Take the medal away from that little bit.
I can't watch the gymnastics anymore because they're so sad. They all look like they're all scared S-less. They're all up there. You know, here she goes. She's 15 years old. She's got national attention. And she's sitting there looking like, you know, and they show the parents chewing gum up in the stands that are just like, you know, it's just like, you didn't make that vault. You did not make that vault. How many times did we work on that vault? You did not make that vault. I swear to God, when we get back, you know when we get back? You better just plan to stay in the house all day, all night.
Well, there she is, Miss Bronze Medalist. How's that bronze medal feel?
How's it feel to be third? You are third. You know why you're third? Because you did not concentrate. You did not concentrate. And I am not going to smile when the camera's on me at the Olympics in Sydney, Australia.
Hello, listen, what did you want? We got a break.
I just wanted to pay you guys a huge compliment. I've been listening to your show for over a year, and I just can't believe the comic wit I just heard. I mean, that was total improv on your part, wasn't it, Don?
On what, sir?
On calling up Jim in 95.
Yeah. Hello, listen, everything on this show is improv. Mm-hmm.
That was great.
Thank you, though.
That was great.
So,
and,
so you say.
Thank you.
Yeah. It's all a big script.
All scripted up. Thank you to Buddy and Sally and, of course, our head writer, Rob Petrie.
The Jam and Oldies sketch was beautifully written today.
Beautifully
funny.
Done. Clear the lines. Get a call 100.
Time for our phony contest.
We're going to give away a cheap prize right now. But I guarantee the person who wins the cheap prize, wherever they live, will announce it.
Absolutely.
Okay? Call right now. Be the 100th caller.
Mm-hmm.
Lisa standing by. Phone number 877-365-3636.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Guys, I will be talking to the cameraman on the headset. It will be Terry's job to give the actors their hand cues.
Oh, excuse me, Russell, but I believe I requested the hand job.
Offering the audio equivalent of manual relief. The Don and Mike Show.
Oh, it's a big show today.
Oh, yeah.
Chuck Stossel, the love muscles coming in. We're going to play the match game to 1,000
bucks. Oh, that game.
Yay. We'll be having the Lou Ferrigno discussion with TV star Leah Remini today.
Ah, it's going to be another fun chat with Leah.
And then on tomorrow's episode, we'll be pitching along with Dennis Franz.
Supposed to be a really super nice guy. So
there's a guy I think we'll hit it off with.
Absolutely.
Dennis Franz. He might be coming by. Well, I don't know if he's coming by or he's calling or what.
I'll bring my camera.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello.
Hello, who's this?
This is Jim.
Hi, Jim. Where are you from?
South Carolina.
Jim, call 100. You've won the Almost Famous prize back, courtesy of AMC and DreamWorks Films. Buzz tells me this is a good movie.
It's great.
Almost Famous, now showing. Enjoy it. Check newspapers for theaters and showtimes in your area. Thank you, my friend.
Wonderful. Thank you.
And once again, you live in?
South Carolina.
Washington, D.C., right.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling the Jam and Don and Mike Show.
All righty.
Thank you.
You see, because we're on about 60 radio stations across the country, we actually pool all our resources so we can give one of those prizes away.
So that we can give away 2 tickets to the movie.
Everybody chipped in. So a big thank you to all our affiliates along
Excellent.
The line.
You know what? He may not even, now that I read the copy again, It may not even actually include tickets to the movie. Although
what is in the prize pack?
Well, you know what,
say?
Though? The slug says AMC and DreamWorks, so I'm guessing that we probably do give movie tickets along with.
Well, what it is it's movie stuff, right? It's like a hat or a T-shirt for the movie. What's it? What, you know what?
I don't know.
After all this, we should be specific about what's in there. We should at least, I mean, on this on this one instance.
All right, let me call Sam again.
We should actually know specifically what's in the prize pack. It's a good idea. You know, because, I mean, we were busting the other station's balls, Turnabout's Fair Play, where we just,
well, no,
we, have to let everybody
no, it's not.
Know what's, I'm just, you know, I think it's a good thing to do.
I just had the thought, as I'm reading the copy again. Maybe it doesn't include tickets, but if it doesn't include tickets, why are we giving a plug to the movie company?
You've won a set of paper 3D glasses. Oops, okay, what's the number, Rob? 462, if you ever want to call Tammy, our promotions director, that's the number. 462.
Hey, hi, sweetie.
Hi.
Listen, do they win tickets to the movie in this Almost Famous thing?
You know, in this one, no. They get a T-shirt, they get a CD soundtrack, there's a keychain. Charlie didn't give me tickets for this one.
Oh, all right.
All right, and let's give, while we have her on the line, we never do this, a round of applause for Tammy Sachs. She's the best promotions director in the business.
That's right.
You guys are so sweet. Thank you.
You are.
Because
she really has nothing to work with. And she's the one who comes up with all the great trips and junk we give away on this show.
Absolutely.
I'm glad you guys realize that.
No, we do. Tammy, we do.
Good.
God damn, we do.
Thank you.
Bye.
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 Well, that's, I mean, I'm happy with that. It's a T-shirt and a CD.
Yeah.
And a keychain.
Stop it.
I wasn't going to laugh. I wasn't going to laugh until you say keychain.
You know, if we're not giving away tickets, why am I promoting the movie company and the movie theater?
Well, because they've come up with the T-shirts
they scored the stuff from the movie company.
It's part of the stuff. It's stuff Almost Famous.
I think they actually send the stuff to Charlie, and then Charlie gets to distribute it.
Oh, I guess. Oh.
I'd wear one of those T-shirts. I'd like one of those T-shirts from that movie. It's kind of a cool movie. Yeah.
I'd use the keychain.
Yeah, I know you would. Only if it had an opener on the end.
I love that. The nothing reminds me of Wavell.
Stupidest prize ever given away. As far as and they're still giving away. They have them every promotion you go to for a beer company.
We gave away.
Rob's got us.
For a while. When we worked at Wavell, we gave away key tags that said Miller Beer or Budweiser, whatever the beer was. Hold on. You got a message, Mike?
I've been laughing.
Hold on. Yeah, egars.com.
Wow. Thank you.
The web's number one cigar site, www.egars.com.
I interrupted. What were you saying?
A welcome interruption.
All right.
There was some beer company that was sponsoring something on our show. We were giving away key tags, and it had the big logo of the beer company.
Right.
And on the back it said, don't drink and drive. It said something like, Don and Mike remind you.
Not to drink and drive.
Don't drink and drive.
That's great.
And then we noticed that on the edge of the key tag was a bottle opener.
It's like a little church key. You know,
right.
So your key tag, where you put your car keys, also has an opener on it.
But it does say, Don and Mike remind you, don't drink and drive.
Don't drink and drive.
So there's that.
So after you use it to open your 15 beers, give the keys to someone else.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don and Mike.
But that was a long time ago.
Yeah.
They still make them, though. I've gone to promotions where they still, those things are, I think, as common a giveaway item as you will ever see. It's the key tag. Charlie's got one. Enough.
You've got one, Charlie?
Both our producer and assistant producer have sports junkies.
Oh, no.
Key tags and beer openers.
It's not mine.
It's not yours. Whose is it?
I just saw it in the production room.
Oh, that's funny.
Somebody's keys?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, they are.
Charlie's been stealing keys.
Hello?
Got him,
I. Yeah, hi.
Hey, have you seen the latest issue of Time yet?
Time.
The cover?
Yeah, no, like on page 6, there is a adult gentleman's club in Pennsylvania that has a drive-through window now.
Well, you know, I read about that somewhere else over the weekend, and the problem with this place is that it's like a bank teller window.
Yeah.
You drive up, and you put a dollar in the slot, and you get like 3 minutes for a dollar.
Wow.
And girls come and they dance naked at the window. Mm-hmm. But the problem is that high school kids are coming over on their lunch hour.
Of course.
They're pulling up.
Of course. Well, of course that would happen.
Right. And the kids are like pooling all their lunch money together.
And there's no way of checking, I would imagine.
Right. You just, you pay the money and the little thing goes up and there's a naked girl dancing there.
Drive through.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don and Mike.
Yeah.
Buzz.
Hey.
Hey. Lou Ferrigno. Remember that? I don't know if you ever seen this episode, but there was one episode of The Incredible Hulk where Ben Ferrigno was complaining about how he didn't get enough time as an actor, and there was actually an episode where he ran a gym, and it was The Incredible Hulk meets Lou Ferrigno.
Don't remember that one, sir, but I'm sure you'll see it replayed on this season's King of Queens.
Fantastic.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yeah, I need to get the address to and videotape him for the J.O. contest.
Are you a serious competitor,
yeah,
sir?
Dead serious.
Have you already completed your videotape?
No, I haven't.
Call us after you've done the tape.
After we've done the tape?
Yes.
No problem.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. I don't believe him.
You know, my wife showed me something funny last night in a magazine. Mm-hmm. It was some girls' magazine, one of those magazines that's about yo thick. I mean, like a friggin' Sears catalog.
Or Glamour.
And I thought, at first I thought it was going to be one of those marriage quizzes. Mm-hmm. You know, the last time she wanted us to take a marriage quiz, thank God we passed.
Right.
Because it's the worst when you take one of those stupid quizzes in the magazine and you fail.
You see?
So, I come home last night, we're sitting down, we're watching Big Brother, we're having our tofu chili.
How was the tofu chili?
Tofu-y. So, we're sitting down, we're eating, and then we're watching, you know, her show, Big Brother. Mm-hmm. And she's, oh, I want to show you something in my magazine. And right away I think, oh, Jesus, here we go, marriage quiz again. Mm-hmm. But she had something great. I want to bring the magazine in tomorrow because they had celebrities, women, who they had given makeovers to.
Okay.
So that they looked like other people.
Oh, yeah.
And what she did was she covered up the name of the celebrity. And she said, for instance, who is this who's supposed to be Raquel Welch? And all of the celebrities were so mind-blowing, they looked nothing like they looked like in real life. And the only one that I can remember...
Good and bad, or...
No, they made them all look incredibly good.
Yes. Okay.
And some of the women were hot, but they made them look hotter. The one that blew me away, they had a woman who looked like Bette Davis, okay? And I looked, I stared at this for 5 minutes, and I said, well, whoever this is a beautiful woman to begin with. She's so hot. I stared at it and stared at it, and I...
Was this done with the real people, and then they took a photograph, or was this done with photo enhanced?
No, makeup.
So this was the real people?
Real people.
Cool.
Simply with makeup.
All right.
With different hairstyles.
Black and white pictures?
Color pictures,
all right.
So I said... I don't know. Whoever it is, it's hot. I'm going to guess Gwyneth Paltrow.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife said, you couldn't be further away. It's Martha Stewart.
Oh, really? Well, Martha Stewart, in her day, was the model.
No. This is Martha Stewart, though, today.
Really?
This is not like a picture that they took of Martha Stewart 20 years ago.
And she was hot?
And I'm telling you...
How the hell did they make her look hot?
I want to bring this magazine in tomorrow.
I'd love to see that.
And show you the picture.
This was a photography and makeup project, and with lighting and photography and makeup, they took, in this case, Martha Stewart, and made her look like old-time movie star Veronica Lake. Is that who it was? They did this with a lot of stars, and they all look like the stars that they're painted up to look like. Were there any other ones that were really noticeable?
There was Gwyneth Paltrow, who was not... In my mind, not a beautiful woman.
Mm-hmm.
She was there as...
Good palette, though. I'd say good canvas, probably.
She was there as somebody else. Julia Roberts was dressed as somebody else. I can't remember them all.
I'd love to see that.
I'm going
to
bring the magazine in tomorrow and give you the same quiz my wife gave me.
Most of them old-time movie stars? Is that what it was?
There was one chick who was Raquel Welch.
Oh, cool. Very good.
I don't remember who that was. I was wrong on all of them. I said, oh, that's Jennifer Love Hewitt. You know, and she said, no, it was, I don't know. I don't even remember. They were so out of left field.
That's neat. I'd like to see that. Some women were made up as men, and you couldn't tell.
Really?
Yeah. Just face shots.
Mm-hmm. How'd you know that, Buzz? That's a woman's magazine.
I've been reading about this photography project in other media.
Oh, well, I will bring the magazine in tomorrow.
And you know how he likes to occasionally play with the makeup.
Yeah, I know.
And the dress up.
Hello, Don and Mike's show.
Buddy.
Buddy.
Sitting here watching Rosie O'Donnell. My God, what happened to her hand?
What do you mean, what happened to her hand?
She's got this claw-like thing.
Oh, she was trying to pick a hemorrhoid. Yeah, she was...
Was she lifting weights in the Olympics?
Yeah, it hurts. Yeah,
all right. Hello, Don and Mike show.
I love Kevin James. I saw him last night on Letterman. I saw him today on Rosie. My God, I could eat this man. He's so cute.
Eat him?
Well, you know, relatively speaking.
Is that like eat with a spoon, or is that, could you really like maybe pleasure?
Oh, don't go there. I didn't even think about that.
Don't go there, girlfriend.
Do you mean you'd like to eat Kevin James sexually, or do you mean that just in the generic, oh, I'd like to eat him up, he's so cute?
Both ways.
Both ways. Really?
And I tell you, Leah Remini, I mean, my God, you've got a dream job. There's nothing like a good-looking, overweight man who's self-deprecating and charming and, I don't know,
Well, they both better hold on to their paychecks this year.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because I have a feeling with the addition of Ricky Lake and Lou Ferrigno to the cast that this will be the last year for CBS's King of Queens.
You know, the last time we were out there on the set of King of Queens and they got done doing the shooting, I looked at Kevin James and I said, that was a great show, Kevin. It was so good I could just eat you.
Well,
and he shook my hand and said, thanks, Mike.
Listen, the man has got something, I'm telling you.
Hey, you're preaching to the choir, hon.
Okay.
I know, Mike wanted to eat him.
I think we determined yesterday the fact that I didn't have sex with Candace Bushnell because I'm gay. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you right now, Kevin James, I totally agree with you, ma'am. It's something about the way he carries himself. Hey. You know, he's fat, but he's not sloppy.
Hey, Charlie Broyhill, come here for a minute. I got to find out the name of the guy at Redskins Park. I was telling Mike this today. It's cracked me up. We were out there.
Let's make this guy world famous.
We were out there waiting to do our interview with Irving Fryer today for the Redskins, for the Redskins Tampa Bay show on Sunday. And Charlie and I are just sitting, waiting for the guys to come off the field.
Right.
And some guy who works for the Redskins comes up a staircase and he says from halfway across the room, he points at me, he goes, hey, you're right. Mike's a homo. I heard that yesterday. Mike's a homo. And then the guy from Channel 9, he says, yeah, I heard it too.
Oh, no.
God, Mike's a homo.
No.
Who was the first guy?
That was Jay Bird.
And what's his job with the Redskins?
Equipment
guy.
Really?
Equipment guy.
Was it, you know, even though he was kind of doing it in a joking way, when he said that, did you detect maybe an interest?
And you?
Well, that he was professing to the world that I'm a homo. Maybe was Jay Bird kind of happy that I might be gay?
But I thought the second guy was.
Ah, there you go.
The cameraman from Channel 9.
Yeah. Well, let me just say to both Jay Bird and the cameraman, mwah.
It was funny because the place is, you know, people out there, they're terrified.
It's kind of a...
Yeah, it's a morgue. Yeah, they're...
Sit down, Danny.
You know, they're terrified of him. He was going to be coming in.
He was probably 75 feet away and yelled it across the room.
Yeah.
Really?
Mike is gay.
Well,
yeah, and I think it's all right. I can deal with it. I've rationalized it in my own mind.
All the way to the front of the Redskins office. Like, they got this big, giant trophy case. They have these three Super Bowl trophies. And there's always people in there staring at him.
Right.
When this guy yelled, hey, Mike is a homo, I saw heads that far away turn and look... He didn't mention the last name, though.
Oh, he didn't?
No, it was just, hey, you were right.
Well, he's yelling it at you, so everybody knows who it was about.
Mike is a homo.
There you go.
I can make you up real nice.
Yeah, thank you very much, Buzz. Oh, 24 years ago. Who knew? Who knew?
Candace Bushnell.
I was going to call her and say thank you for coming on this show. I still might do that, but I
should.
I just was so shattered by yesterday's show that I just haven't been able to piece it together. You know, it's much in the same way why nothing happened with me and Candace or any of my other prom dates or anyone in high school, really.
Hello, Donna, my show. What, no? The 15? When you were 15, right?
Not in high school, though. Not related.
Ah.
When I was up in Maine.
Gotcha.
Farm girl.
Hello, Donna, and my show.
Yeah, true. True that.
And I know how that went.
What's that? Hey, guy's got to do what a guy's got to do.
Hey, Stack. Hello, Donna, Mike's show.
Hi, can I talk to the guy?
Donovan, you son of a bitch. You're hurting me.
No.
Sensual. Hello.
Hi, guys.
Hi there.
You know when you were talking about radio contests?
Yes, honey.
Well, listen to this. I've been calling 100 three times and I've never received anything in the mail.
Right, because we're in the business to rip people off.
Well, what about the people that call all the time and say they've gotten their prizes? Why don't you list what you've won?
Well,
you're lying. I know, and I know.
Yeah, wait a minute.
No, hold on a second. You are the same one. This is that same lady that's called before.
Is this the Hitler lady?
I'm sure it is.
No! The Jean-Benet lady?
Yes.
No, you guys love me.
No, I know. I know the voice.
Tell us the prize.
You want me to tell you who I am? I've been to see your Las Vegas style shows.
What have you won and not received?
Well, the first time I won, you were doing this contest.
No, I want to hear a bio. No, we don't want to hear a bio.
No, listen, honey,
we don't want to hear your bio. We want to know what have you won that you haven't received. Just tell us.
Are you listening to me? I'm trying to tell you.
Just tell us the prizes. We don't care about the background. What
it was like a Seinfeld package T-shirt and all that. It was when you were getting ready to give away the Seinfeld on Broadway tickets.
I never
received that.
Okay, first off, when we never gave away Seinfeld on Broadway tickets. We sent Lewis the Retard
right.
to New York to yell at Jerry Seinfeld. We were not involved in that promotion. I paid for those Broadway tickets myself for Lewis to go.
Okay. No, I remember at the end of the week...
No, honey. Honey, there was no such thing. There was no such promotion.
All right, well, maybe I misunderstood what it was. I didn't win at the end of the week, but sometime during the week, I was supposed to win.
All right, what is your next supposed prize you've won?
I don't remember.
Oh, so you're full of it.
No, I'm really you're not full of crap.
Listen, you are. I'm going to give you the number. It's area code 703-691-1900. You call Tammy Sachs. She keeps immaculate records. If
you... Now, you know what happened?
No, you listen to me.
You don't want to hear that, though.
Listen to this.
Wait a minute. You don't want to hear that.
Charlie Stossel...
She has no interest. No. This is why she's full of crap. She's full of crap because she doesn't want to hear anything that we're giving away.
If you've ever won a contest, we have it on record. Call Tammy in the promotions office, and they'll send you the prize.
But you don't want to do that. You just want to cackle on our show. Yeah, you do.
But I was just looking forward to talking to you guys again.
Yeah.
Again?
Yes. Whenever I win the Caller 100 thing.
Give me your first name and last name, and I will call Tammy. I'll get Tammy on the phone right now. Hold on. What's Tammy's number?
462.
Hold on. Simple enough.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, I'm positive we never give away Jerry Seinfeld T-shirts. I'm positive.
Mm-hmm. I don't think there were T-shirts for that concert. No,
that was not a thing that was arranged with his production company because I had to pay for the ticket myself.
Right.
To send Lewis the Retard up to yell at him.
I think that lady's working us.
Oh, yeah.
She's extremely dishonest.
Tammy, where are you?
Here comes Charlie.
Well, you guys can take...
Hold on. Hi, talk to Charlie. What, Charlie?
Oh, what? Let me have her name and I'll see what I find.
Okay. Are you willing to accept those terms?
Yes.
Beautiful.
Great.
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 Look into it, Charlie.
We don't have to listen to her anymore.
Let me know what she says.
Try to explain it to me, because really that's what it sounded like. The whole contest
thing.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I don't know.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hey. Yeah.
Yeah.
I have a phone number that Don and Mike might want to be interested to have.
You have a phone number that what?
Don and Mike might be interested to have.
What is that phone? Is that the phone number for English is my first language?
Yeah, listen.
No, sorry about that.
You're on the phone with us. What number is it, please?
It's the number, it's a 411 number for the Department of Defense.
Why in God's name would we be interested in that?
You guys had called the U.S. Navy SEAL headquarters and you couldn't get a phone number. If you call this number, it'll hook you up to anywhere you want in the Department of Defense.
Right.
Are you talking about another minuscule thing that happened on the show like 6 months ago?
Mm-hmm.
I think it was about a month and a half ago.
Yeah, it's awfully long ago.
Yeah, no thanks.
Okay.
Bye-bye. What, Robbie?
This is going back to the day after the first episode of Survivor.
Right.
When you were trying to figure out why Rudy couldn't start a fire. So, yes, this does go back to, like, June.
Oh, my God.
Right.
Oh, Jesus my Christ. God.
But it was a good call.
Hello. Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hey, Don, Mike. How are you?
It's Mike the CP Comic.
Hello, Mike. How are you?
Hi, Mike.
Good. How about you?
Oh, we're doing great. Thanks.
Just wanted to give you some info. The third week of October, I'll be in Alaska all week if you want me to do anything.
You're going to be up in Alaska performing?
Yeah, doing some motivational speeches.
And are you going to be doing anything besides the motivational speeches? Are you going to go salmon fishing or anything like that?
I plan to stay in my room and stay warm.
Stay warm. You're not doing anything like at the Funny Bone or at Giggles or at the Laugh Factory or anything this time?
Well, I'm doing speaking and two shows for this one company. It's not a club. It's their private, their comedy night.
Okay. Gotcha. Well, you know, unfortunately in Alaska, I can't think of anything for you to do, anybody for you to stalk in Alaska.
Oh, okay. Well, just thought, like, if you want me to bug people or ask questions.
You know, see if you can find your way to an igloo.
No. Just have a good time.
Okay.
Hey, how are you enjoying the Facts of Life marathon on Nick at Night? Because don't you remember on Nick at Night they're running that awful show Facts of Life where they had the female CP comic on.
Right, absolutely.
Right? What's her name?
Jerry Duhl.
Is she a role model for you?
Yeah, I heard now she does a lot of motivational speaking like myself. Hmm.
So they pay you good money to go out there, and they fly you out there, they pay your airfare?
Yeah, in fact, they had offered my wife could go, but she's pregnant. Thanks, Don.
You're welcome.
You just give, don't you?
You're welcome.
You really do.
You're welcome. All right, have a great time, Mike.
You're the greatest, Mike.
Hey,
thank you.
One more thing.
What?
If anyone knows anyone, I have 5 chapters of my book written. If anyone out there is an agent and is interested.
All right, you want an agent for your book?
I listen. Hi, how you doing?
Donnie from
Stay Cool. Stay cool.
Don, one more thing. How come I wasn't in the lineup yesterday?
Yeah. Yeah, the Candace Bushnell lineup.
Well, Mike O'Mara had a car accident.
Oh, funny. You are funny.
Oh, my God.
All right. Have a great day.
All right, goodbye. Mike the CP comic.
Bye, Mike.
Bye.
Just sit by your phone, wait for to ring. I'm sure King of Queens is going to call you soon.
Absolutely.
He'll be the neighbor on the other side of Kevin and Leah.
He'd be better than Lou Ferrigno.
Oh, yeah. No kidding.
Really?
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello?
He's oops. Funny.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going great, thank you.
I didn't get my prizes either.
Okay, knock it off. Goodbye. We got a break. We will be here right back.
This is the Don and Mike.
Have you seen the new intern? Extraordinary. Wouldn't I like to give her the old pork sausage? Hello, Jimmy Dean.
God damn it. The Don and Mike Show.
Hello there, Don and Mike Show.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Hi.
Hi.
For my birthday spankings, Radio God.
Oh, really? Well, what's your name?
Debbie.
Debbie, where are you from?
I'm from Germantown, Maryland.
The D.C. area. How old are ye today?
For the 10th time in a row, I'm 29.
For the 10th time, you're 39 today?
Yeah.
39 and holding everything he can.
How you making out?
Oh, I'm doing okay. You know, aches and pains.
You doing okay?
Yeah.
You got big cottage cheese buttocks?
No, I don't.
You work out?
I don't have to.
Really? Genetics have been good to you?
It would be all right if you have big cottage cheese buttocks.
Well, yeah.
Hey, we'd spank you anyway.
Some guys like big cottage cheese buttocks.
You know, the brothers like that. You know, baby get back.
Absolutely.
Who's the celeb you think you most resemble?
Jane Seymour.
Oh, really? Wow. You know, she got a mustache.
Yeah, Jane Seymour was, I thought was like a turbo hottie until we rode up in an elevator at CBS Television City, and I saw her from the side and noticed, like, hair on her face.
Major mustache. All right.
Well, I don't have the mustache. I had it removed.
Okay, be a good girl. Pull your pants down.
They're already down.
Yeah.
And your underpants.
There they are.
And your underpants. All right, I'll be using the frying pan on you.
Ooh.
Okay.
All right.
So show a little respect for a modern utensil.
All right.
Here we go. One. Two. Three. Four. Five. Six. Seven.
You can do a little better than that.
Eight.
You can put a little more into it.
Nine. Ten. 11. 12. 13. All right, let me go into OJ mode. 14. 15. 18, 19.
You took all of mine.
You got 20 more to go. I only went to 19. She's 39.
I'm sorry. I just wanted to get out the Tahitian war clubs.
Do the math, man.
I can't do math.
21. No, 20. I only went to 19.
20. 21. 22. 23. 24. 25. 26. 27. 28. 29. 30. 31. 32, 33, 34, 35, 36, 37, 38, 39. Oh, man, it's just been so long. We haven't done that in a long time.
Oh, it was good for me.
I was eager.
We haven't spanked a girl's bottom for a long time. Have a nice birthday.
Thank you.
Thank you, honey.
Happy birthday. Bye-bye.
Oh, look, there's cottage cheese all over my frying pan. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Get out, you scraper.
Happy, 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 nappy. He too fried the bitsu. My mama loves me, but she could be driving too.
Don't know what that was. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey.
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 Hi there.
I want to ask Mike about how his poker machines are going.
How my what?
How your poker machines are going in your basement.
You mean when I said I was going to buy a poker machine?
Yeah, you said you
had. I never did.
No, he bought a slot machine.
And I never used it, like Don said.
Yeah, is that what happened?
Don was right, I'm a fag.
Listen, I know what I forgot to ask you about. Tell us about the skin tags that were not on your balls, but were on the inside of your legs.
I have these skin tags that I've had on my inner thighs for a very long time, and they're like probably, you know, I don't, because I can't see them that well. I'm not sure exactly how many there are, but they're not only ugly to look at, and they've been there for a long time, but they're a little uncomfortable, too, especially when I'm doing a lot of exercising. So Rob recommends this dermatologist that takes me 6 hours to drive to today. So I drive to this guy's office, and I'm going to get them frozen off, because that's what they did to the one that I had under my arm right here. He froze them off, and it worked out real well. So I walk into this guy's office, and I say, hi, how you doing? I've got these skin tags on the inside of my thighs, upper thighs.
I just want to say,
this is up near ball territory.
Okay. When Mike was describing this to me yesterday, his worry was that he was actually going to have to hold his balls and move them out of the way.
Yeah.
While the guy went down there to do the snip,
which I ended up kind of having. Well, I'll tell you what he did, because it was like he gets me in, and he said, first of all, that we kind of have a debate at first, because he says, well, I'll snip them off. I said, well, I've had them snipped off before, and it's better, I think, if you just freeze them. They go away. You know, the ones that they took off before, they've gone away permanently. And so, because I just don't like, anything on my body that like developed after 35,
right?
And you know, and when you get to be 35, all of a sudden things just pop up, and I don't want to. Mess with them. I want them gone forever, right? So he says, well, I'll snip them off. He says, well, I've had them frozen off. So immediately, I think he takes this as, you know, a challenge.
An offense.
Yes. And he was like, well, I if you want to have it done, I can do that. It's, you know, and he's already going to the whole doctor thing where they're, you know, they're looking at you. If you want to, okay. Yes, you wanted them frozen off. And I said, snip them off. Like, yeah, I mean, frozen off means you just go in and they go, and they take this can of stuff and they spray it.
We described this to you on the show when you wanted to have their work taken off. We told you to get them.
Well,
that's
the lady that came in and said no pain, no gain, and everybody, didn't we all reach a consensus that it was probably better that I go to Rob's guy? Remember the lady? It was like,
because
she said rather, no pain, no gain.
Rather a real doctor than a doctor who calls into the show.
We were all a little scared about that, right? So I go and he sits there and he says, okay, I want drop your trousers, which, you know, just makes me giggle when they say that. No, he says drop your trousers, and so he drops the trousers, and I sit there and say, all right, now lift up. Okay, all right. Okay. Fine. He sprays one.
Now, are
sprays
you,
the second one.
Are you
I'm
sitting,
hiking up. I drop my trousers. I'm sitting on the edge of the doctor's table.
And you have your legs spread?
My legs are spread. I'm wearing boxer shorts, and I've got the boxer shorts pulled up around my privates.
Ah.
So I'm pulling them up like this, and he sprays. He goes, there's one back there. All right, that's not going to work. What I want you to do, I want you, okay, listen. We're going to have to do something here. Let me help you off with these. He's already frozen one of them, so he doesn't want me to move, I guess, because it's got to melt or something like that. So he helps me remove my pants entirely, and then I have to turn over on my side with my butt facing him, and I'm like, what in the name of God is going on? No, I didn't know what he was doing. He says, okay, lift the right leg up and keep your left leg straight, and I'm going to get behind you. Well, what he wanted to do, he wanted to come in the other side and get the one that was right next to my left one, and so he comes in, and that's the one that hurt, because he sprayed it, and it was just like, he said, okay, this, you might feel a little discomfort here, and I go, yeah! and as I lift my leg up, and then there were like, I think there was one on the other side, so I had one or two or 20 on the other side, and I had to roll over to the other side, and he sprayed them there, and he said, do you have any powder? He said, for the next few days, you might want a little powder. And so I said, yes, I have powder, no problem at all. And so he froze these things off, and then I went right out and worked out on the treadmill and on the cross trainer. But no pain so far.
Any blood in your underpants?
No blood in my underpants at all. Because it freezes, and then they just die.
Uh-huh.
And they fall off. And he said, with vigorous exercise, they sometimes go away anyway. He said, do they come from your family? Do you have a family history? I said, I think my father may have had some on his arm or something like that. But, you know, I don't want them to stay around. I've seen people. Have you ever seen people that they have them, like, on their face or something? Like,
well, Cap Steve.
Yeah, I don't want any.
He has skin tags.
I just don't. There's no reason to keep anything on your body that doesn't need to be there. And, you know, even though they're way up here, of which we do not speak,
yeah,
I still don't like them. I don't like looking down and seeing one right there.
Well, it should make your wife happy.
Well, she doesn't care because you really, you know, it's in the front. You know, they're almost around back. So even when we were getting intimate, they wouldn't be that. But I know they're there, and just the fact that I know they're there, just I wanted them gone. And then he also sprayed. I had so many things on my body.
Are they anything like venereal warts?
No, not at all. No, they're the skin tags, which people have normally. They're genetically you're predisposed to them. I don't think it has anything to do with old or young. But if you have a family member that's had them, you get them, and they're like little tags.
They're little tags of skin. So you're saying the same things that we've goofed on Ken. On his neck. You have them close to your balls.
Yes. Extremely close to my balls.
And I'll tell you one thing that's really gross is I had one removed once. It didn't bother me all that much, but what happened is it had actually gotten pinched. Now, you can imagine, like, crimping a hose, and the end of it died.
Yeah.
And so I said, there's, like, this black thing. It was, like, right here. And I said, what is this black? Why, that's dead flesh. We'll take care of that for you.
They love to tell any, like this. He took a wart off my finger.
Yeah.
And he said, all of this, they don't, you know, they said, you can have it taken off if you want. But, I mean, you know, if you want, I'll do it. That seems to be kind of the attitude of these guys. Because, you know, there's nothing from a health standpoint, really wrong with anything.
Right.
And so, you know.
You can remain covered in these warts all over your hands, and you continue to have these skin tags by your balls. I'll remove them if you want.
If you want. That's the attitude.
Sure.
Okay. And I'm like, yeah, take them off. Take them off. So he goes ahead and he sprays the stuff, and then they're supposed to, like, die, and then they just fall off. And so, I mean, I prefer that to him, like, he said, otherwise you have to give me a local anesthetic down near my balls.
You don't want that. No needles by the balls.
And so he did that, and he's gonna snip them off, and then they're going to fall off, and they're going to die. So he sprayed that one. You see that one right there?
Yeah.
That little one there. And he sprayed that one, and then he sprayed these in here. One of them hurt bad when he froze it, because it was just that was the one that was right down there where maximum friction.
I just have to point out one thing.
Guess what?
Warts by your balls.
They're not warts.
Okay, skin tags.
Skin tags
by your balls.
Warts hands.
Warts hands.
Yes.
Balls. Eggs, balls.
Hand to ball.
Hand to ball.
There have never been any on.
Ball to hand.
Little Mike has never had any of them on there, though.
Okay.
That's good.
It reminds me of a cycle we used to talk about on this show.
Hand to mouth.
Hand
to testicles. Just hand, mouth, testicle, and stuff. So I will let you know how they go. I thought, frankly, and I'm not telling the guy how to do his business, but frankly, I thought he maybe should have given me a little more of the stuff to freeze him.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll see. Yeah, like on this one and on this one, I think he should have froze it more.
Yeah, but
I don't know. I'm not a dermatologist.
There's no return business in that.
You could have asked me. You know, I went to that doctor
the last time you helped me with that and you got the Swiss Army knife out, I was I almost went to the emergency room.
Seriously.
What?
You could have asked me that dermatologist, that awful rash that I had.
Right.
I went to a great dermatologist.
Well, no, this guy was good. This guy, Rob recommended this guy, and Rob is very good with his recommendations. So I went to this guy. It was just right out of the chute, it was kind of like, I think I challenged him a little bit. I said,
yeah.
I prefer to have them frozen. I like freezing them because it's just, you know, you go in there and it's in and out and all. But it's embarrassing because the nurse comes in to tell you what's the problem. And, you know, you have to tell her about this stuff you have on your body.
And you wouldn't, that's why, now I'm thinking about it, you wouldn't want them.
I'm so glad. You know what my greatest fear was? That this was all going to happen, that I was going to be talking about this the day that Candace Bushnell was coming in here. And I was going to talk about the fact, or like I was going to maybe have like Band-Aids where they you know, where they took the warts off my hand.
You wouldn't want to go to my dermatologist because it's a woman.
Oh,
really?
Man.
Female. And you wouldn't want a woman down there burning skin tags off near your balls.
Well, I've been to female doctors before that have I've had a physical from a female doctor before.
I couldn't take that.
It was the longest hernia exam I ever had.
And you know, I want to tell you something about my wife, about dermatologists.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to this dermatologist. Remember, over the summer I had that awful rash.
The rash.
And he gave me some stuff, took care of it, knocked it right out.
Right.
My wife bugs me. Like, for weeks, she was... I want to get an appointment at that dermatologist. I've got these... She has, like, these little spots in her arms, and she can't loofah them out,
right.
Okay? I don't know what they are. They're just... They're spots on her arms.
Mm-hmm.
So one day, she over and over again, you know... Remember when I told you guys about the list? When she constantly has a list of things that I haven't
done.
Mm-hmm. So here's what I did. The last thing she said to me in the morning, I went home, I get up my Palm Pilot, I call the dermatologist.
Mm-hmm.
I make an appointment for my wife.
Well, that's nice.
She comes home, I give her a post-it note that says, here you go.
Mm-hmm.
That's the date.
Right.
That's the time. That's the address. That's the doctor. You know what she says?
What?
Why did you do that? I said,
because I was
helping you out, because you've been yelling at me that I don't handle details.
Right.
She says, how do you know that's a good day for me to go?
Oh, dear.
I said,
oh, dear.
I don't know that it's a good day. It was the first day that they could get you in.
And you didn't say what first popped into your mind, which would have been any day is a good day.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
that would have gotten you in big trouble.
But when I called, this was sometime last week, the first appointment they had was on October 25th.
Wow.
Yeah, all doctors.
You know, in our area, let me tell you something about doctors. Any doctor.
You know, she said, well, why is it October 25th? I said, because that's the first date that they had.
Right.
She said, well, what if it's an emergency? I said, well, I'm sure, honey, if it was an emergency, they could get you right in. But I explained it to the lady, and the small patches of skin that you can't seem to get out with the loofah didn't seem to be an emergency.
Mm-hmm.
So she ended up calling and changing the appointment anyway.
Yeah.
Of course, because I just can't win.
Well, this office was just... packed with people, young, old, everybody with goofy stuff happening to their skin.
Yeah.
Really, really, you know, nothing really, because I look around, and in that office, when you go to a dermatologist, you really scan the room, because you're hoping you see something, you know, like out of Papillon.
Yeah.
You're really hoping that you
like
see
Freddy Krueger or something
that. Didn't you guys, you used to have a book or a chart or something of skin problems?
We still got it upstairs. Some dermatologists used to send us these medical journals all the time with the worst cases of skin afflictions you've ever seen in your life.
Next to proctology, I would say that would be the last thing I'd want to do, looking at people's gross little things hanging on them all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, really, it's just nasty. And then he said, I got one wart right here. See, right behind my wedding ring, right there, my ring on the other side.
Yeah.
And I have rings all over my fingers, incidentally. Just hundreds of pretty rings.
And other places.
Just like Sammy.
Of course, I mean your toe rings.
My nipple rings.
And your
ring. He almost caught it with his pinky finger when he was spraying the skin tags there.
Scrot ring.
He said he could take this one out. But
your scrot ring is really more of a leather strap, isn't it?
Well, it's a strap, but you could put a ring through there. You could put a ring, or you could have a leather strap. And you know, right now I just have a piece of twine, because it's a twine's all you need. Just a little twine that I have with a little decorative ornament on it. It's a Christmas ornament. It's a bell, actually. It doesn't have the ringer in it, but it's the shape of a bell. It's right down there. There it is.
Here it is.
Yep, absolutely.
Here it is, right on your balls.
Rings every time it's time for me to go tinkle.
And during. or whenever you get a boner.
Yeah. Well, then it just doesn't stop ringing. Never stops ringing during sex.
No, actually, this is the sound when you have a boner.
There he is. Doctor didn't seem to mind it at all.
Doctor says every time. And then this is the sound when you really have a boner.
Okay. Come on. It's go time. Oh, my God. Oh, man, I'll tell you, that's real embarrassing when you're on, like, a subway. Sorry, ma'am. Didn't mean to go off here.
The man with the scrotal ring.
I am really sorry I've been ringing. That's a mighty attractive outfit, though. Please accept my most humble apologies. When's the next stop?
Okay, hold on. We got a break. Charles Stossel is here.
All right.
Good. We're going to talk to him about his life, and about movies. Oh, and he's going to play Match Game 2000 with us.
All right.
So stay tuned.
All right.
Okay, will you stop your balls from ringing?
There's nothing I can do now. You got me all excited. Thank you, Doctor.
We will be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Excuse me, Chief. I got something here you might want to see. I hate when people talk during the movie.
Slap Nut Bunny. The Don and Mike Show.
We were taking calls. I don't think we got a call from anybody. Of course, maybe I didn't ask. Hi, Charlie.
Hi.
Anybody who had gone to Candace Bushnell's book signing last night?
Where was it? Down in Georgetown?
Yeah, down at Olson's.
All right.
I wonder if anybody went to see her.
Yeah.
See Ha. I'd like to know your response to Ha.
She's Ha.
I saw an interview done with her on HBO. She is cute.
You should have seen her in person, Charlie.
I bet. You didn't bang it.
Pretty good for 4-1.
Yeah.
And you should have seen the outfit she had on yesterday. And I didn't want to say this to her face.
You know, when she walked in here, this is the God's honest truth, and I'm not blowing smoke here. When she walked in here, there was definitely, I think because Don runs the show, and there was just a connection there. But when she walked in, I swear to God, this is the truth. You call me what you will, but it was the same thing that we had in high school.
Which really?
It was not the same thing you had with her. And that's not because she's not attractive. It's just not, she's not, you know, we discuss this all the time when we rate women. Not my kind of attractive. You were ready to jump on her bones as soon as she walked in here.
I was ready to have sex with her when Frieda was on the phone. I really was.
I know you were.
And she had this top on that was like this feathery top, but she had no bra on.
Wow.
Underneath. And you know that girl's nipples in American Pie and those areolas?
Yep.
Your friend Candace Bushnell
had them.
Had big, 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 dark brown, big areolas, not big boobs.
You know, and that is also, I would have liked, even though we are just friends, I would have liked to have seen that because your angle, you got that. I guess it was, I didn't see that from the side view where I was standing, you know, paralyzed with fear for the entire segment.
Well, if anybody went to see Candace Bushnell last night, who could have been Mrs. Mike O'Mara?
Yeah, I mean, you know, but for a couple of circumstances.
Give us a call, please, and now.
The bride of Puerto Rico.
Here he is.
Here's movie man, Charlie
Stossel.
I need to know what the hell you're reading on the air.
Oh, my God.
Listen, I got a phone call home about that.
Charlie, the letter we received yesterday, because you're a friend from the ticker, we're not reading it to you today.
He didn't read that on the air because it was, honest to God, it was so dark and disturbing.
That I read Mike the unedited version
right
up in the office.
Oh, you edited what you actually read
on
the air?
Oh, it was evil. You don't want to carry that one.
No, I got calls. Wanting to know what the hell is going on.
Here's what I think. I think that there are inmates across the country who have heard the letters I'll describe as playful that other inmates have sent to you, and I think
they think it's a good way to get on the air.
Exactly. I think that this guy doesn't really plan to do all the stuff in the letter that he wrote to cut your head off and
this upset run, people who know me.
Run barbed wire through your eyeballs. Or no, he wanted to take a
hot poker, a soldering iron.
A soldering iron.
Because it would make your eyeball explode.
Ah. And then he wanted to have...
Maybe for Christmas.
Then he wanted to have sex with your eyeball.
With your skull as a memento. And then run barbed wire through your eye sockets and hang your head up at the Super Bowl.
These are disturbed individuals.
Yeah, extremely disturbing. You know, it, who knows what's in that individual's mind, but there wasn't a joke in that letter.
No.
And it was just kind of...
That's why we didn't share it with you yesterday. I mean, we shared it with, you know, 6 million other people,
exactly.
But not with you personally.
And you don't want to forget the thin glass piping and the rubber mallet.
Yeah, where he would insert the thin glass piping into your thing and smash it with a rubber handle.
Oh.
Hey, good Wednesday to you.
It was really weird.
It was everywhere.
And don't forget also the other part, that he wanted
Let's
to take...
relive it, please.
He wanted to take some of his poop... J.O. with your poop on his
He also
thing.
Wanted to cut a section out of your leg down to the bone and then drill into your bone and suck the marrow out while you were still alive.
Don't you think you may be encouraging this freak show that goes on in our nation's penitentiary?
You know, I'm realizing now, we should have just written the letter because we're telling them all of the good parts right now.
And, you know, it also demonstrates how in America, and probably everywhere else, you just, something about violence that is totally memorized. You know, we could study other things, names of people. We remember every detail of that letter. It's weird.
Hold on, Charlie, I got a call about Candace Bushnell. Then we got no other mail for you this week, so it's just you and us in movies.
How damn.
They can stick around and play match game with us, right? Hello, Don, on my show. Were you at the signing yesterday?
Yeah.
You see Candace Bushnell?
Yes, I did.
She's a cutie, isn't she?
She was pretty cute.
Pretty cute.
She was pretty cute.
Jesus. I'm telling you, I thought she was H-O-T.
Did you go down there just for the signing?
My wife's a big fan. I was going to get her a present, yeah.
Did you bring Mike's name up to her?
No, I didn't. I figured you guys had given her a hard enough time earlier in the day.
All right, thank you.
Yeah,
great
thanks
call.
For that lively call.
Sorry.
Appreciate it.
Thanks, great.
That's the way he reacts to everything. You know, you just won $1 million. It'll pay the bill.
Great call. Charlie, before we talk movies, I know that you have an impromptu, unscripted statement you'd like to make.
Each and every week, I'm brought to you by Doc Harry's. A prime rib. Yummy. And let's not forget the ribs. Go in and do a Chris Rock. How much for the ribs?
$2.50.
That's 50 cents a rib.
I came in because Tyler Stossel told me to come in. How much you put some in my hand? Come on now. Give me it for a dime.
Put in a hand for a dime.
Charlie Stossel said to come to Doc Harry's. Help him, brother.
Hey, come on, man. Charlie Stossel.
Give me a rib.
Can you break 100?
Doc Harry's is located on Multiplex Drive in Centerville. Give him a call, 703-815-RIBS.
Ribs. Okay, Chuck. Here you go, Movie Man. What's new this weekend at the
I've got one really to talk
Cineplex.
About. Finally a movie that will do some business. Remember the Titans.
Oh, it's Denzel Washington.
It looks pretty good. Actually, looks very good.
It's very good.
You know what? I got so pissed last night when I got home. There was a message on the machine from a guy at some advertising agency. A guy, not that friend of yours, but the guy who works.
Kenny Freed?
A guy who works with him.
Steve Winter.
Yeah.
Charlie Brotman.
Yeah, that's the guy.
Right.
There's a message on my machine at home that says, hey, Don Frieda, how would you like to come to the premiere of the movie and meet Denzel?
Mm-hmm.
At the premiere.
Down last night.
Last night.
Last night.
Last night.
He calls you last night.
No, he called about noon yesterday.
Oh, okay. All right.
Didn't get the message.
Make plans for that.
We didn't get the message until 9 o'clock last night, and I was pissed because Denzel Washington.
He was at the premiere.
Yeah. It was one of the
Everybody was there.
Were you there?
No.
Oh.
Isn't it based?
Everybody from the movie.
It's based on
Coach in Alexandria.
Yeah, Alexandria, Virginia. Denzel Washington is one of the few movie stars I would like to meet. I would have absolutely nothing to say to the man. I would just like to say, I dig you.
Right.
You're on my list. You're one of the few guys, if you're in a movie, whether it's good or bad, I'll go to see it to see Denzel Washington.
Mm-hmm. And couldn't be a nicer guy from what I hear. I've talked to actually some of the actual players that played on this T.C. Williams team, and they all got a chance to meet Denzel Washington, and they all said wonderful things about him, that he was down to earth. He joked around a lot. He was one of the guys.
And Denzel Washington is a poontang magnet.
Right.
And I mean, Denzel Washington cuts across all lines.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm talking young, old, black, white, yellow, red.
Mm-hmm.
All women would spread their legs for Denzel.
Mike,
like that.
And apparently he's so loyal to his wife that he doesn't do a lot of love scenes in his movie.
No, he has a clause in his contract, when I understand it. He will not do that.
He won't do those scenes
at all,
in deference to his wife.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So, I mean, that probably disappoints a lot of women, but that's just the way he plays
really.
It.
Well, I want to say right now, I've never had the opportunity to do that movie, but there would be no such clause in my
you have to do love scenes clause.
Yes. Hardcore.
Hardcore.
With the money shot.
Full frontal nudity. They'd be negotiating the film for Don, and you do know that Mr. Geronimo insists on at least 2 full frontal nude scenes while he's making love in every single movie.
Or simply inclusion.
Or simply a la Harvey Keitel on the piano. Just a couple of shots of me walking around without my pants on. All right, so Denzel Washington's a great guy. The movie's about a black football coach
It's based on a true story here in Alexandria about T.C. Williams High School, where they had to integrate in the early 70s. And a lot of people were upset that a lot of black students were coming to T.C. Williams, which at that time was mostly white school. As part of this, Denzel Washington is given control, black coach, of the football team, displacing the white coach. Who is there? The white coach has to become the assistant coach. so the pressure is really on. You can't do anything wrong. Tina ends up going undefeated, pretty much unscored upon, wins states, does everything. It's one of those inspirational, Rocky, feel-good movies, and Denzel Washington being just as good as he is.
Yeah, and he's, the thing that's great about him is that he just doesn't, it's never over the top with him.
No.
You know, he and I mean, for a role like this, which in my opinion, could easily go into the schmaltzy, syrupy, sweet category, having Denzel Washington as the star, I think, prevents that from happening.
No, and it's the first movie to follow. This and the Meet the Parents film, the De Niro one,
oh,
which is funny as hell.
I've
seen that. That is funny.
Is it as good as it looks on the trailers?
Ben Stiller is a great
foil.
Doof. Foil.
Yeah, yeah.
A guy who gets taken advantage of in this movie, but we'll get to that next week when it comes out. Just picture milking a cat.
So it's the perfect time, though, for this Denzel movie, because there is nothing else out there now.
Almost Famous being good. The Exorcist did very well last weekend.
Yeah,
but that's it.
But it's a crappy time for movies because, like, the number one...
No, it gets good. It gets good now. The Olympics are winding down. This and then next week with Meet the Parents and Blair Witch at the end of the month in November just looks huge.
But business-wise, the number one movie of the week makes $8 million. That's not a lot of money, right?
Hey, you know what? You know, I had a horrible thought. You know, the thing about... We're talking about going to the dermatologist. Rob, I wonder if you've ever noticed this. The doctor that Rob sent me to today. I'm sitting in the office, in the lobby, and in the corner, there's a mural that has little handprints all over it, little red handprints all over it, and I thought Blair Witch draws it and started, you know what I'm talking about? Next time you go, it's the first thing that popped into my sick mind. You go in the corner, you see this thing, and all I can hear is,
Josh, help me, Josh. Okay, so remember the Titans.
3 stars, very good movie.
Only three?
Well, three, yeah, it's a good, it's not Almost Famous.
Okay, the football part, tell me this. I thought Any Given Sunday a realistic football movie. Varsity Blues is fake football.
This is in the 70s, remember, so the helmets are a little different looking, the pads. It's well done, but the story is not what happens on the field. It's more of what happens off the field with the team.
Gotcha. All right, so you liked it.
Yeah, very good.
You liked it. And I could have gone last night. And Freddie was pissed about that.
Oh, man, she loves to go to that
kind of
stuff.
She heard that message. She said, we could have met Denzel Washington tonight, and here we are instead. Eating tofu and watching Big Brother.
Tofu chili.
Yeah. Tofu chili. But we didn't get the message in time. All right. Chuck, well, how come you weren't there, Chuck?
No invitation.
How come you weren't there? But how come you weren't there? I was invited but didn't get to go. And yet this guy, Victor, was at the premiere. Do you remember Vic, the guy who looks like Sherman Klump?
Big Vic.
The guy from...
What's going on, guys?
From Strip Trivia. Hey, Vic.
Let me tell you something. My wife was so mesmerized last night. She just told me she's pregnant, but she got a little sick, so we didn't watch the whole movie. But Denzel was so great last night. He met everybody. He shook hands with everybody, hugged all the women. And it was just a nice outing. But he did do one sort of love scene in one of his movies. Did you see the movie He's Got Game? With him and the kid
Spike
from...
Movie.
Where he's the basketball player and his son.
He does love scenes. Wait a minute, he does love... It's the type of love scenes he does. Yeah, I don't think he does nude scenes.
No, he the back and was humping her from the back and got an orgasm, but he didn't take any of his clothes off. And he was disappointed because he had given her $20 for pretty much nothing.
Humping her from the back.
Yeah, humping her from the back.
They had an orgasm.
Hey, one more thing. You guys were talking about Tammy earlier. Tammy's wonderful. All your staff over there is wonderful.
Thank you.
Charlie, Tammy, Lisa, the whole nine. So.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Big Vic.
All right, guys.
All right. Bye bye.
That's Big Vic telling us about Denzel humping her from the back.
And having an orgasm.
Okay. All right, so remembers the Titans is good.
Very good.
Okay, get out. We'll call you when we need you again. When you come back for Match Game 2000.
For your second appearance on the show today.
Bye-bye.
Charlie Stossel.
Stossel.
B-flat.
That's the one. You got it.
Mike made me laugh so much today, boogers came out of my nose before the show. And we were watching our soap opera.
Yeah.
They had a commercial on for Dial Soap.
Yeah, Dial Soap commercial.
It's a black and white commercial, and it's like an 8-year-old boy. And I'm just reading the paper, and the TV's on in the background. And it's a shot just of the kid's feet. Okay, a kid, and he's got like soap running down his legs, and it's saying,
just his feet.
Dial soap helps children with all the problems they get into. And I look up at this screen, and Mike says, it's the Charlie Stossel story.
Charlie's fantasy.
Charlie Stossel's fantasy.
Charlie says, it's just soap. It's just a little kid's feet and soap running down his
brain. I about fell out of my chair.
That's right after I did the, you know, oh, maybe I should.
Oh, no. Right. No, that one's funnier.
It's AFK women.
They did a prom.
The women
did,
of AFK.
They did had a commercial for
Meridia,
which is an anti-fat product. So they show all of these gigantic obese women,
and they keep showing the the phone number, and I'm like, call the women of JFK.
And every time this big fat obese woman would be out on the beach rollerblading, Mike would say, "I love working at WJFK." I mean, it says you were on a roll.
It was.
You were hot in the office.
I was hot in the office.
You had me with the JFK commercial.
Yes.
And then the Dial soap commercial, Charlie Stossel's fantasy.
Charlie Stossel's fantasy. Soap running down the drain. There he is.
Little kid's feet. Time out. But we, when we come back, we will take on TV's Leah Remini about
New for Week Now.
Oh, my God.
Joining the cast of King of Queens. Stay tuned.
This is the Dawn and Mike Show.
I gotta tell you, nothing better than a holiday Monday. I had the panic moment when I woke up this morning. I felt like, uh-oh, I gotta go to work. And I was like, no, I don't. I can just lay here and scratch and touch all morning.
You do realize men died to give you this holiday, right?
I appreciate it. Otherwise, I'd be touching myself in Nazi Germany.
This is TV's Leah Remini. And I just have to say that I enjoy Don's company much better than Charlie's.
Time for more host chat with Don and Mike.
All right, we'll see if she changes her tune now. We're going to call Leah. She's expecting her call.
Very good. It's been a while since we've chatted with the lovely star of the CBS hit show King of Queens.
Hello? Leah?
Hello?
Hey, Leah.
Yes?
Oh, let me play you in, darling.
Our next guest is one of the stars of the popular television program, The King of Queens, Monday nights at 8 right here on CBS. Here's the lovely Leah Remini.
Hi. Hello, sweetheart.
Hello, Leah.
Hello.
It's us. We love you.
What are you doing?
We're calling you because we're concerned.
Why?
Very, very upset.
Okay. Why?
We're more concerned than the Ricky Lake thing.
Tell me what?
Because you guys have hired Lou Ferrigno to be the next door neighbor.
You're aware of this?
Yes.
You're aware of this, right?
Where'd you read that?
I saw it on TV today, and Buzz has it on his news.
Real? Buzz again started trouble.
No. Leah, no. A friend of mine called me up this morning and said, turn on CNBC, they're doing the entertainment news.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, okay. And they had a picture of Kevin.
Oh, Leah, are you the last to know again?
And it was one of those things, I said...
Thanks for pointing that out.
I said, I just turned it on, I missed it, what is it? And my friend said, you're not going to believe this.
Yeah.
They hired Lou Ferrigno to be the next door neighbor on King of Queens. And I said, oh, you're full of crap.
Right.
And he said, no. Go to the website.
Right.
So I went to the CNBC website.
Right.
Typed, and clicked on entertainment news.
Right.
And right there.
There it is.
And it was a picture of him.
Right.
In his Incredible Hulk outfit. And it said, Ferrigno to join King of Queens.
All right, so let me talk to you for a minute. You don't think it's kind of funny that Doug and Carrie are like in their backyard and they go, oh, somebody moved in next door. Who is it? Lou Ferrigno.
Like actor.
No.
He's not going to do anything.
Wait, what, is he going to, like, turn green and turn into a monster?
No, he's not going to... Lou Ferrigno, not the Hulk.
Well, I mean, Lou Ferrigno, is it a speaking part?
What?
Have you... You know, we've had Lou Ferrigno on our show in person.
Yeah.
He's a cool guy. He's a very cool guy.
Funny? Oh, who's that? Oh, Lou Ferrigno. He moved in next door.
So he's playing himself?
Yeah.
Oh, you mean he's going to play Lou Ferrigno?
Right. No, he's going to be dressed in green.
No. Come on. Honey, is he going to play Lou Ferrigno, though?
Yes.
You mean he'll use the name... It's the bodybuilder Lou Ferrigno?
Right.
Oh, wait a minute. All right, wait, that does change it a lot.
Thank you, Mike.
No, it does. Don, you know it does. It does. Don,
Don,
it does.
It does.
It does. You know it does.
It does a little bit.
It does. I thought, we thought the way it sounded that he was going to be playing a role.
Yeah, said, and then Wonder Woman's coming on the following week.
No, it said hired as the new wacky neighbor is Lou Ferrigno.
So it's going to be Lou Ferrigno as himself.
Correct.
Oh, that's totally different.
See?
Okay.
That's funny. Now, on another tip.
Yes.
Ricky Lake is a friggin' doll.
Of course she is.
You like her?
No, I'm serious.
How about this for a plot line?
A doll.
Lou Ferrigno breaks her in half and then eats her.
No, seriously, Don?
Yeah.
She is an absolute doll.
She's a doll baby?
And not even like, you know, a social, you know when you first meet somebody and, you know, they're like a little bit bull? Because they're being social.
Yeah.
And you know that after a while the social veneer will come off and then you'll see like, oh, she's really a bitch.
Right.
That's not the case at all. She was completely herself, completely humble, a doll.
Okay, well, listen, just tell me this.
What?
What is the mental standpoint of the cast going into the third season?
Yeah.
Win your time slot. You're on against goddamn Daddy-O, okay,
right, right,
on NBC, which is a piece of crap, and 2020, you'll win your time slot.
Right.
Anybody there ever say, hey, hello, wait a minute. Why are we dicking around with this format? Why are we adding Florence Henderson and Ricky Lake and Lou Ferrigno?
Why not? That's funny. Right there. That's funny to me.
And you get along well with Ricky Lake?
Henderson being somewhat of a little slutty character is funny.
Okay.
So Ricky Lake playing Kevin's sister, who is adorable and great.
Is she in a lot of scenes?
And Lou Ferrigno as a neighbor in Queens. That's funny.
Who told you that Lou Ferrigno was going to be joining the cast?
One of the writers. Well, no, he didn't say he was joining one of the cast, so that's kind of news to me.
So the lines are going to be, it's like Kevin's going to say, hey, honey, you're never going to believe who moved in next door.
Exactly.
It's Lou Ferrigno.
Right.
It changes it. It does change it.
You see what I'm saying?
It takes...
I mean, it's... Okay, but
it's... not going to be like, hey, this is Lou Ferrigno playing Hank.
Yeah, that would have been...
You know the scenes will play out like this. Will be, hey, Carrie, here's Lou Ferrigno.
Right. Hello, Gary.
Don't be...
How are you? I'm fine.
I think we've had him on our show before.
He's a very cool guy.
Girl.
Right.
Really mean.
But no, it's true.
Honey.
Hi. Where?
Stop!
Where is Jerry Diller?
Stop it. Jackie, they're making fun of Lou Ferrigno. That's not right, is it?
Of course we are. No, we're terrible.
Hello.
Speaking of Jackie, our website is up.
Oh, what's that? Your jewelry website?
Yep.
Okay, what is it?
It's www.jackieandleah.com.
JackieAndLeah.com.
Mm-hmm.
And
okay.
You're selling...
I'm selling, you've noticed.
You're selling jewelry?
Uh-huh.
Is it... What kind of jewelry?
You know, cool stuff.
Cool stuff?
Mm-hmm.
You design it?
Jackie designs it, and I go, wow.
Wow, this is great jewelry.
That's my input. That's all I get. Oh, you're going to do... Oh, nice.
Have you made another Quaker? Did you make your...
I did.
Other Quaker stick commercial?
I did.
All right.
I did on Monday.
Ah, there you go.
Yes.
Proud of you.
Proud
Superstar.
Of you.
Yeah.
Proud of you.
No, we are. We're very proud of you.
We are.
Thank you.
You know who else was up for that ad?
Who?
Lou Ferrigno.
Shut up.
Die.
Listen, so, you know, I talked to Michael, and he said in a couple of weeks you guys could come on and do your thing.
Really?
Yes, really.
True?
True.
Really?
Really.
Hmm.
What?
Hmm.
What's the matter? Is there some silent tea?
No, we're just curious. We've just kind of been sitting quietly by.
You know, we're running the commercials here already. You know, Mel puts all the commercials on. We're already running all the commercials saying, you know, Monday night, season premiere, King of Queens,
right.
You know, tune in. We're noticing the new season is starting. You guys are probably...
Yeah, if we don't do good this season, we're really dead. We're completely dead.
What do you mean? Well, I mean, you've gotten the word?
Well... Basically, we have to make it to our fourth year, right?
Right. That's
first season. First season is kind of like, you know, it's a new show. You know what I mean? Second season is kind of like, well, let's see if they got to do a little better. Third season is, if you guys don't do it this year, that's it. All right, Jackie, am I right?
I don't see how you can fail. I mean, you're on against...
So once you do the first show of your fourth season, you're set, right?
If we do good the first, I would say 3 weeks, we'll be okay. If we don't do that great, we could be canceled.
The first 3 weeks of this season. So you mean starting Monday night?
It'd be me calling you like every day, going, "Hey, what are you guys doing? I'm doing nothing."
All right. So you mean now, at the most important stretch in the show's history.
Mm-hmm.
Now's the time.
This is the most important.
To bring in Lou Ferrigno.
Let me throw an idea.
Now we bring out the big guns.
You got Lou Ferrigno on the left
side. Lou Ferrigno, Florence Henderson.
How about you have two just crazy guys on the right side, the neighbors on the right side?
Listen, me and Mike were already discussing. We could
be. Oh, you want to be neighbors?
The chronic arguers.
We could be chronic arguers.
Mm-hmm.
We could be homos.
We could mm-hmm. be.
We could be retards.
We could be anything you want us to be.
Oh, Jackie had a pitch. Do you want to hear it?
Yes.
She said maybe you could be Lou Ferrigno's gay friends.
Absolutely.
I already said earlier today before
like
we
talked to you. No, like Don and Mike is a couple.
No.
And throw Buzz.
How about Lou?
He likes threesomes.
Lou Ferrigno's. Yeah, Buzz could be the three of Lou Ferrigno's masseuses.
Right, Buzzy?
Yeah.
Listen, Leah, it's not beneath us. Mike and I would be homos on your show.
We'd be gay and we'd be Lou's masseuses. His gay masseuses. We'd be giving him rubdowns.
Except we'd have to talk like him.
Stop! Stop!
Ready for your up down?
Stop!
Except I'm much more literate than he is when I'm doing my impression of him.
Oh,
hello. Have you met him yet?
What?
Have you met him?
Hi, Jackie.
Michelle. Big mouth.
Have you met
Michelle?
Oh, that's Michelle.
Yes,
oh,
Michelle.
I thought Michelle wasn't your assistant anymore.
Yeah, Michelle is gone, but she's ripping me off now. And her and her mother are painting my bathroom because.
How is Michelle?
Michelle likens herself to being an interior designer or whatever.
Really? You're so loyal. You're loyal to your friends. Your friends are your friends for life.
They're doing artwork, apparently.
You think there's any chance that Michelle's going to go down on her knees in front of Lou Ferrigno?
They want to know if you go down on your knees in front of Lou Ferrigno.
What is Michelle wearing Pippi? Right now?
You have nothing to say, Pippi?
No. Oh, that. That
looks like Marianne from Gilligan's Island right now.
That's so good.
What?
Do that to me, Michelle. Oh, that's good.
They're making fun of Lou Ferrigno. That's not nice.
Oh, come on. We've had him on the show.
He's a good guy. We have fun with Lou Ferrigno.
I'd consider him to be an acquaintance of ours.
You do?
Yes.
Absolutely.
So you're not threatened or bothered by any of these moves?
Don, why do you keep bringing that up?
Well, because you know,
then you start me thinking, and I really.
No. All right, let me tell you something, really. Okay, last night,
yeah,
Frieda and I,
yeah,
we're having dinner,
right?
We're watching the dumb Big Brother show because she loves that show,
right?
And after the Big Brother show comes on King or Queens,
right?
And she says to me, "Have you seen this one?" And I said, "No, I haven't. Let's watch it."
Okay.
We watched it last night. Okay. It was an episode where Kevin wants to buy an RV,
right?
And you want to go to Paris,
right?
You know, we got done watching the show, and I swear to God, I turned to Frieda and I said, "I don't know why they want to F with that show. I don't know why you'd want to F with that."
We're not effing with it. We're just adding to it.
You have good chemistry already.
I know, but that chemistry is not going to go anywhere. I think it's a good idea to definitely add a sister because I think, you know, I need to have somebody that's built in. No. That's
hey, let me ask you a question about Ricky Lake.
What?
Because we had discussed this before you knew... You knew what the scripts were going to be.
Yeah.
Does Ricky Lake, is she kind of an antagonist of yours? Does she fight with you? What?
She's going to be.
She's going to be.
Yeah.
But right now, is it just introducing her to...
Yeah.
So they're just scenes with Kevin now.
Right. And then, you know, then I think it's going to be great.
That's a problem. Listen, you've got to keep you in as many scenes as possible on
the show. You're the funniest one on the show.
I'm not going to go and say, "Listen, guys, I need to be in every scene, every, you know."
You've got to go in and say, "Listen, you have..."
Honestly, Don, I like the time.
You know something? You got to remember
the scenes. I like, you know me. I like to go in my room and have my coffee.
Leah,
you know what?
This is show business. You got to go in there.
No, but I'm not like that.
You got to walk into the producer's office. You have to say, "Don't screw with me, fellas."
Listen, honey, here's what you do. Really, you go and you say, "Listen."
I don't believe she said the word "screw," but
no, she said the other one. "Don't F with me, fellas."
You go and you say, "You know what? I've been on this show for 2 years."
Yeah.
Now you're taking away time from me.
No.
From Betty.
That's horrendous to say something like that.
Betty White, whose next starring role is going to be in a casket.
Oh,
then you bring Ricky Lake by, whose daytime show is canceled, who should be at a fat farm.
Her daytime show is not canceled. She just signed a deal for 3 more years.
And now, to add insult to injury,
Don,
you're bringing on a deaf guy who hasn't been on television for 10 years.
But, Don, first of all, she just signed a 3-year contract, so she's not going anywhere.
All right, they wouldn't be signing a 3-year contract with her if her show sucked. Okay? Yeah. And she's very adorable.
Okay.
And I think it's good for Doug to have a sister.
You think if we meet her, do you think we'll like her?
I think you're going to totally eat your words. You're going to feel bad.
You already asked her that the last time.
What?
This was kind of goosing her to get out there. I want to get out there again. I got an L.A. thing happening. I need L.A. I need my L.A. fix, man.
But
I do.
Listen, Michael said anytime you guys want to come on, he just wants to make sure you don't come on a week that we're just in the house. Because then you'll be sitting there.
Okay.
He wants to make sure you come on the show that there's something for him to give you that's funny.
We're both cocking our heads at, like, dog angles now, like we've heard a high-pitched whistle, because we're confused.
Why?
So we're going to have lines, right?
You're going to have lines. Yeah, what happened to your little friend there? He didn't follow through yet?
Oh, no. We've got him on another burner.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, and is he still going to be a glorified extra or what?
Well, we're negotiating with him.
You're negotiating?
Yeah, he's kind of saying, you know, they're going to... They're in development right now. They're developing the script for us.
They're developing a script for you.
I've already.
Wait a minute. They're developing a script for you.
Yes, a script. I already made $600 from him.
Oh, doing what?
Well, they got a scene where they're going to be watching a football game, and you know I do that the Redskins pregame show.
Right.
So I did a couple of lines where I'm saying, hey, you know, the Redskins are going 1st and 10, and that's when they're going to be watching TV.
And you did that?
Of course I did. They paid me $650.
Did you see it?
No, it's going to be on the second episode.
Oh.
But that was just a little extra he just threw my way.
Well, we'll see. We'll see if it gets in there, honey.
Yeah, so they're developing.
Let me ask you a question. Is it going to be acceptable to you if the camera's on them and you just hear your voice?
Oh, no. Listen, understand. That's all that is. But you know what that was?
What?
That was an extra nugget they threw.
Oh, so it's about money.
No. They're still planning on having us go out there and do the thing.
I was just pointing out that the other show... Besides the fact that they're still planning on having us come out there,
right.
Threw me an extra little bone, and I got paid $600 for it.
Right, but that doesn't mean you have a line on the show. That means your voice might be in the background.
Well, no, my voice will be on the television. You know,
right? But they're going to be watching you, watching them.
No, I'm not even going to be on. I just got audio for them.
Right, that's what I'm saying. So what? You're not even on camera.
I know.
I mean, if you want me to send you $650 to speak in the background, you know, I'll do that.
Oh, okay. And that's what I said.
He's already done it, Leah, but you could send me that check to speak in the background on King of Queens.
No problem.
Thank you.
I already did. I'm just saying, I mean, you mentioned...
I'm just saying, I don't want to start in trouble, but they said they were going to give you a line,
and
I'm just waiting to see that happen.
That's and?
What?
We talked about that today, and Greg Garcia had a conversation with Charlie Broyhill yesterday.
Oh, okay.
As a matter of fact, you want to send me that check, I'll audition right now. Our top story tonight, Lou Ferrigno moves in as an extra neighbor in the neighborhood of King of Queens. Thank you very much.
Hi, Doug.
Stop.
Hi, Terry.
Stop.
Me like Terry. You.
What'd you say, Terry?
Terry.
Oh, Carrie.
Terry, me
Stop.
Like you. You
Jack, they're making fun of Lou Ferrigno.
You're pretty. You give me...
They know that. That's what they're doing.
Lance Starr, top story tonight.
Doing that voice.
Lou Ferrigno moves in next door to Doug and Carrie. And King of Queens, more to come later.
You give me boner.
What? Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Right.
So how many women...
I mean, I guess you're not offending anybody, really, because then no one's really here.
No, listen, okay, you know who I'm offending?
Who?
Deaf people, okay?
And they can't hear you.
Yeah, and right, deaf... Right, deaf people can't hear.
Right.
So, no problem.
We're an equal opportunity offender on this show. We offend everyone.
Okay.
Listen, we offend everyone equally.
Listen, really, honestly, we just didn't know if you knew about Lou Ferrigno, and obviously you did know.
Yeah.
And if it's him playing him, it's a lot different than if he was playing, like, Sam or something.
Exactly.
And we also just wanted to check in on the status of, you know, our participation on your show.
Yes.
Because we're getting that LA ish.
You know, Charlie...
What?
Charlie has not called... to make arrangements, which he needs to be doing.
Charlie, come here for a minute.
Charlie Broyhill.
Hey, Carlos, come here, please.
Charlie Broyhill.
Entree vous, Charles.
When do you go on hiatus?
What do you mean, for the season?
Yeah, when are you going to be finished, you know, shooting your episodes?
For the first part of the year.
When do we finish, December? Yeah.
Here is Charlie Broyhill now.
Charlie?
Hi, Charlie.
Hi, Leah.
Stop, Don. Charlie.
Yes.
You've got to call over there and say, look, I got to book their flights and I've got to make arrangements. So give me a solid time of when we can come and do the show.
Last time I talked to Annette, she told me it was too early and to try back in a couple of weeks.
And when was that? Because Annette's been in the hospital for the last month.
It was before that.
Yeah, obviously.
Okay, so
you said check back in a couple of weeks.
Would you like to say anything else while you've got Lee on the phone?
I have, Charlie.
Would you like to say anything to Lee?
So what should he do then?
I will call on Monday.
Yeah, but don't ask for Annette because she's not there, but you should definitely ask for Michael's assistant.
Okay.
So that you could get a solid date.
Okay. And tell Leo what Greg said. What's the latest on our Yes, Dear project?
He's working on something for them to be involved in. That was really all he told me.
Oh, okay. Well, that's very clear.
He doesn't have a specific date.
This is all very L.A. right now. We're all just going, great, okay, well, it's in development, terrific, and make the arrangements.
Right,
yeah.
which is you know.
We have many irons in the fire.
Stop it. It's not nice.
Come on, it's
going
funny.
On Yes, Dear.
It's funny.
They promised supposedly a scene on Yes, Dear, and then when I talked to the guy was like, well, I said, so basically you're going to be extras, and then he admitted it.
That's not what he's told us.
No, now he's telling you he has a scene for you, right?
Yes, yeah.
Where is it?
I don't know. Well, you know what I'd say? No,
no
right. Offense. Okay. No offense.
Hey, and listen, all this TV stuff's fine, but let's not forget also the possibility of Donna Mike meet the Mummy.
What are you talking about?
Our film.
That's our movie.
Our feature film. Donna Mike meet the Mummy.
Oh, very interesting.
Like Abbott, reprising the Abbott and Costello films.
But listen, I could say to you the same thing that we said to Greg Garcia.
Which is?
You know, we're ready.
We're ready.
You guys are filming.
Yeah.
We're ready.
Well, whose job is that? Charlie just said, Annette said he should call in a couple weeks. Meanwhile, she's been in the hospital for a month and a half.
But so what, the show is shut down because Annette's in the hospital?
No, my point is Charlie should have already called.
That's well, Charlie is going to call Monday.
So why is it on my end? You got to call and say, when can we get a date here?
I don't want this to turn ugly.
Why doesn't Charlie just call today?
Charlie can call today.
Beautiful, thank you.
Charlie should call today.
Yeah, okay, Charlie. Hey, Charlie!
Oh, God.
Call today!
stop!
Okay, I'll stop. All right, well, listen, we will hype up your first episode Monday night.
Please do.
Big one, Monday night, 8 o'clock.
Okay.
You know, 7 o'clock Central Time on your
season
local
premiere, right?
Then I won't have a job, and if I don't have a job,
CBS station.
What are you going to do?
Is Ricky Lake on the first episode?
No.
Nope, that means you're going to have a great number.
Absolutely.
Don't say that.
You'll do great.
Lou Ferrigno on the first episode?
No.
Win your time slot. No doubt
Angelo
about it.
Angelo is, though.
Angelo is?
Huh?
Angelo is on the first episode?
Uh-huh.
What does Angelo do on the first episode?
He plays a little hottie guy.
Oh, really?
Well, listen, now I understand how it works.
Oh, my God. You know, Angelo got a big movie.
Well, now I see how it works. Yeah.
Angelo got a big movie with John Travolta.
You can get your boyfriend on your TV show, but you
I
can't
get I didn't
get
my boyfriend on the show. He had an audition like everybody else.
Oh, yeah, he didn't get that because of you.
He's going to be in a movie with John Travolta?
Let me tell you something. First of all, you know, Angelo auditioned for the show 4 times and didn't get it. So, obviously, it's not just because I'm his girlfriend, because 4 times he didn't get it.
Okay.
So this time he auditioned, and I told Kevin, please tell me how he does, because I don't want to be embarrassed. If he doesn't do a good job and then he shows up on Monday and sucks at the table read, I'm going to be embarrassed. Because everybody knows he's my boyfriend, you know?
Does Angelo have an actual line or two on the show?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Really? Are we going
to
have to?
What do you want?
Hey, will we have to do a table read if we get a line?
Yes.
Cool. That's neat. Cool. We all sit around.
And
that would
if you don't
be
do good, you can get fired, too.
Really?
Yeah. So, you better rehearse that line, my friends.
So, listen, what about his movie?
His movie. He's got a movie called Swordfish.
Swordfish. Have they started filming yet?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. He's doing 3 months on it.
He's got a big part?
He's working 3 months on it.
So, he's going to be out of the house for 3 months?
No, he's not going to be out of the house, but he goes to work every morning.
Oh.
So, it's not a location picture?
Yeah, but downtown L.A.
Downtown L.A.
Is he going to make a big construction paper card for John Travolta to say thank you?
Why would I do that?
No, is he going to?
Fire him? Yeah, nothing to do.
No, is he going to? You know, like that big card he gave you for Valentine's Day.
Oh, I get it.
Ha ha ha.
God, you're killing me.
All right, so...
Oh, you are funny today. So you're mellow funny today.
We will not only watch for you Monday night, we will
guess
watch...
Guess what I have today.
What?
Guess what I have today.
Your period?
You thank God?
I thank God.
You thank God.
Your period.
We will watch not only for you on Monday on CBS, we will also watch for your boyfriend, Angelo.
Okay, good, thank you.
On the new season premiere of King of Queens, Monday night.
All right.
And today we will have Charlie call the hospital.
Please do, not the hospital.
Or the producer's office to talk to whoever it is he's supposed to talk to.
How is that lady doing? Is she all right?
Yeah, she went into premature labor.
Oh, that's too bad.
Her and baby are doing well.
Oh, good. That's good news.
All right, well, good luck. All right. Good luck working with
Let
Lou.
Let me know what happens.
Okay, we will.
All right, love you guys.
Okay, love you.
Okay.
Bye, Leah.
Oh, hey, Leah.
Shut up. Goodbye.
Yeah, I love you.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.
Me love her.
Long time.
Me love her long time.
There she goes. TV's Leah Remini.
Yeah.
How about that?
Angela is going to be on the season premiere.
Yeah, well, of King come of Queens. On. I mean, we don't have that kind of pull.
Yeah, I know we don't.
First of all, we're not out there.
Yeah, and I'm sure he auditioned four times and was turned down.
Sure.
Right. Right.
Imagine that if we do a table read and we get fired. That would be funny. I'm sorry, guys. That just sucks.
That would be grand. All right, well, there's Leah and her reaction to the Lou Ferrigno announcement. We are up on a break. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
You can call Don and Mike anytime, toll free, at 1-877-365-3636. That's 1-877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Hey, this is Homer Simpson saying howdy to all the girls out there in Radio Land.
The cure for your anal spasm.
Oh, yeah.
The Don and Mike Show.
Ronaldo E. Miguel.
Yes.
Hi.
How's it going?
Well, great, thank you.
Guess who this is?
Guess who this is? Lou Ferrigno.
Close, but I'm not gay.
Leah Remini.
Close, I'm not female.
I don't think Lou Ferrigno's gay. He's deaf. I don't think he's gay.
All right, guessing game over. Who is this?
It's Adam. How's it going, guys?
Adam Sandler.
Keep going.
Adam West.
Keep going. You're getting closer.
Adam Ant.
Oh, and there
the
you
other Adam Ant.
Well, yeah. Exactly.
Adam Clayton Powell.
How about Adam McGillicuddy?
Adam and Eve.
Close. Close.
Adam 12.
Now we're even.
Oh.
No.
Yeah, because I had two in a row.
What were the two in a row?
I had Adam Clayton Powell, and I had Adam Ant.
And I had the other Adam Ant.
But didn't I have two before that? Yeah, I had one before that.
I don't think so.
Yeah, I did.
I don't think
Let's go back and listen to the tape.
Okay, I think I'm one ahead.
Because I think I had two out of the chute.
Rewind it. Was it real two? Here we go.
How's it going?
Great, thank you.
Guess who this is?
Guess who this is? Lou Ferrigno.
Close, but I'm not gay.
Leah Remini.
Close, I'm not female.
I don't think Lou Ferrigno's gay.
You counting, Rob?
He's deaf. I don't think he's gay.
All right, guessing game over. Who is this?
It's Adam. How's it going, guys?
Adam Sandler.
Keep going.
Adam West.
Keep going. You're getting closer.
Adam Ant.
Oh, now there you
go. The other Adam Ant.
Well, yeah. Exactly.
Adam Clayton Powell.
How about Adam McGillicuddy?
Adam and Eve.
Close. Close.
Adam 12.
Now we're even.
Oh. No.
Yeah, because I had two in a row.
You got it yet, guys?
Are we even?
No, Don's one up on you.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Adam Venturi.
Now you're two up on me.
Adam Vinatieri.
The field goal kicker for New England.
Am I on? You guys answer me. Hello? Hello?
King of the Adams.
King of the Adams. And, of course, the Adams family. Gomez, Morticia.
That would be a last name Adams, even if you were playing.
Oh, you're right. That would not be right.
But I couldn't think of any other Adams.
Hey.
You know, and technically it might be a tie because you said Adamant, and I said Adamant, and I meant Adamant, the cartoon, A-T-O-M.
Right, when it's A-D-A-M.
So...
Then we were even. But then you came up with one.
Adam Vinatieri.
You came up with Adam
Vinatieri. King of the Adams.
There you go.
King of the Adams.
You're King of the Adams.
Hello?
Hello. How's it going?
Of course, Sharon.
Sharon Adams.
Sharon Adams.
That'd be the last name Adams. Thank you.
Wait, Adam, who the hell are you?
Oh, now start with the C's and see where it gets you.
instead of just the A's.
You know, you're,
I can play the Adam game better than you guys can.
It's hard to understand you, for some.
Adam, what can we do for you?
I'm Crazy Adam. How's that?
Crazy Adam.
Do we know this guy?
I mean, wrestling karaoke guy, right?
There you go. There you go.
Who's the karaoke? He waited on hold for like a million years. He's the mental patient who's being held against his will in the...
Oh, the mental patient.
The guy and they let you out recently, right?
Absolutely.
And you seem to be a little obsessed on the show.
Oh, I like you guys. I'm
the mental patient who had been held against his will. And what was the name of the place in Kansas, Buzz?
Larned. You don't sound like you're medicated today.
Well, I got my own medication today.
Yeah, I figured as much. Right. You don't sound like you're as even as you were the last time you called us.
I know, I'm one up on you.
What can we do for you, Adam?
I'd like my karaoke contest.
You'd what?
Like the karaoke contest that Don promised me on my birthday.
Okay, you go first.
All right, as long as you play the song first so I can get in the mood, because I haven't been listening to it. But go ahead and play the song for me, and then I'll sing it to you.
Play the song?
But it's got to be a cappella.
Go ahead,
acapella.
Sing.
No, wait. It's got to be played my way.
No, listen, it's not. No, it's our show. It's not got to be played your way.
We're not going to take orders We're not going to take orders from a guy who just got out of a mental institution.
If you want to play your little karaoke game, you do it our way or forget the whole thing.
There's only like two songs I know, but go ahead.
All right, what are the songs you know?
That one Slim Shady song where he's falling off a bridge, and then there's that Aerosmith song about Deuces Wild.
Now do the Aerosmith song.
Yeah, go ahead.
The Aerosmith? Well, I'll give you the music first, and then I'll give you the...
No!
I don't have the music.
Oh, okay.
It's gotta be a cappella. We already said that.
Start it out. Give me the first words.
No, it's your song.
Oh, well, okay. Give me a second. Let me go look at my baby.
Your baby?
Look at your baby.
My fiance, excuse me. I know you don't understand all my words, but
just go. Just go. Start it. Start it, or it's going to be over before it begins.
Oh, damn. Go to Slim Shady, and I can do it for you, man.
Slim Shady, go ahead.
Go ahead. Do Slim Shady.
I sit back with this pack is exact, and this bag of this weed, it gives me the shit needed to feed. And since D on this earth, and since birth, I've been cursed with this curse to disperse and splurt this berserk. And bizarre shit to work, and it sells, and it helps in itself to relieve all the...
Shocker. He knows all the words of the Eminem song.
Yeah, really.
At least distressed again recently, but at least have decency in you to leave me alone when you freak to see me out in the streets when I'm eating or feeding my daughter did not come and speak to me.
Okay,
I don't know.
Great,
That's
great, thank you.
Alright, now you see.
Hey, guess what? You win.
That's it. I can't compete with that.
You beat us.
I can't compete with a mental patient like you.
You did it. You did a good job. You beat us in your karaoke contest, and happy birthday.
Right?
You win!
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Alright, goodbye.
A little too late, though.
Alright, never call us again.
Ouch! Ouch, I like you guys, though.
Bye, Adam.
Bye, guys, for now.
Bye-bye. There's a lucky fiancé.
Yeah. Tied up right now somewhere.
Yeah. Adam textbook.
Adam! Stop it, you dirty bastard. Stop it. You're hurting me. Stop it, you son of a bitch. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello?
Hello.
Hello?
Hello, you're on the air.
Am I really?
Right.
Not for long.
Come on.
Why do you let stupid son pricks like that call your show?
I don't know. And then we follow it up with great guys like you.
That's right.
Yeah, that's the nice thing, that we can have an idiot on and then have a rocket science major.
A wonderful person. I am a god.
Right.
Wow.
I like this. We got one prick calling because the other prick was on the phone. And actually, the other prick was actually kind of enjoyable and quirky.
Yeah, not like this guy.
Yeah, but I'm not medicated like he is.
Yeah. Well, maybe you should be medicated like he is.
No, because God gave me a great brain.
Well, other than you saying you are a god, did you have any real point of this call?
To give y'all a hard time.
Hey, that's a novel concept.
To give y'all a hard time.
Bless you, Rob.
Bless you, Robbie.
Rob's allergic to morons.
Rob, I apologize. I'm sorry.
Go to hell.
Oh, he called you a whore, Rob.
Whore.
You're the whore.
No, Rob's the whore.
You're the whore.
It's really complicated, but actually your mom insisted on paying me, so...
Hey, goodbye. Hello, Don. Don and Mike, please.
Do you like when the real venom comes out of him?
Turn down your radio.
His face gets flushed.
Cheeks get all red.
He gets real motivated.
Don and Mike show.
What's happening, Don?
Hey, buddy.
What's up, Mike?
Hi there.
Hey, Don, you know what? People always call you and give you a hard time about how much you love your son. You're not ashamed to show it on the radio. Well, I just came from a parent-teacher conference today. My baby got straight A's. My second grader is a straight A student.
Hey, give this dad his prop. Wants to call and tell the world his kid got straight A's.
Right.
Good for you.
Same
good
people.
For you, Daddy. Good for you.
6 million people. My baby is a straight A student.
There you go. Good. The whole world knows. The whole world knows. What's your son's name?
My daughter. Her name is Jordan.
I guess it was your son and you were calling it your baby. That might be a little hinky.
And how old is Jordan?
She's 7 years old.
Seven. Just think. Just 11 more years and she'll be able to come down and take her clothes off on this show.
There you go. Strip trivia. Hey, you know what? She'll probably win. She's a straight A student.
Thank you, my friend.
Good job.
All right, man.
I appreciate that.
That's great.
You have to brag on your children.
Mm-hmm. You know, you have to. You know, especially if your life is a mess. You have to have something to be happy
about. Absolutely.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Are you a god?
Hi.
Hey, I got a skin tag story for you.
All right, is it a good one or a bad one?
It's a pretty good one.
You know, something about calls that set it up, that don't get right to it, that actually preview it, that tease it like the evening news, yeah, that are always suspect, but go ahead, tell us your great skin tag story.
Well, it happened to me. I had a big one right on my anus. I had a female doctor, dermatologist, and she had an assistant, and she's a Mennonite, the religious faith. And she took a electric needle and took it off. At first, she had to give me two injections in that area.
See, when you call and you set it up by saying it's great,
usually isn't quite that great.
Right. Thank you, though. Thanks for the effort.
So long, storyteller.
There he goes.
Hello, Don.
He goes off to entertain another show.
Don and Mike show.
Hello.
Yes, hello.
Yeah, hi.
My name's Mr. Jones, and I'm with the NAACP, and I don't like the way you've been portraying African-Americans on your show for the last 6 months. We've been monitoring your show.
Oh, please.
Oh, you're full of crap.
We're tired of the way
you are full of crap.
You're nuts. You're out of your mind.
The word Negro and colored 89 times in the last 6 months.
Oh, please.
89 times in the last 6 months.
We don't appreciate that kind of...
F you.
Our people that way.
F you. Come on, please. Stop yanking my chain.
Everybody's jerking our chain today.
Yeah,
that's all right, sir. We're monitoring you. You better watch out.
Right.
You know what happened to the Grease Man.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, because this show is just like the Grease Man. And besides, Rob says he counted only 88 times.
Well,
not 89 times.
We've got you at 89.
Yeah.
First of all,
the way organizations work differently, we know you're full of it. You're lying.
We're just watching.
However, we're
giving you a heads up to apologize now.
Well, apologize for what?
What's your name? Give us your name. If you represent that organization, Mr. Jones. That's your full name. And what are you? What is your position with the NAACP?
That's how I want you to. Call.
What is your position with the NAACP, liar?
Liar.
Yes.
You call me a liar.
Yes, I am. Yes. Yes, I am.
Why
most
are you
definitely.
Calling me a liar?
Because I think you're lying.
You are.
I don't think you represent the NAACP. I'm calling you a liar.
We're the local chapter here in Washington.
Local chapter? What is your position with the local chapter?
Vice president, if you must know.
But Mr. Jones, the vice president of the
local
chapter.
You're a liar.
Correct.
You're a liar. And you're upset because I've used the word Negro?
Negro and colored and the way you've been portraying blacks.
What do you mean the way we've been portraying blacks?
How have we been portraying blacks?
A gentleman by the name of Mr. 40, he's portrayed as a drunk, coming into your show.
He's a guest.
Acting drunk and drinking malt liquor.
He's a guest
that's
on our show.
That's the way our people want to be known as.
Well, Mr. Jones.
Want to be known as good moral citizens. Who
oh, please.
We're doctors, we're lawyers.
I want to tell you something, Mr. Jones. You listen
tell
to me right now.
Jones,
I don't care if you're Negro or colored or black or white. You listen to me right now. I'm going to tell you something. Are you listening to me?
I'm listening, sir.
Me and Mrs. Jones.
Keep that up, because this will be another...
We got a thing
going on.
Hey, what'd you do with the money?
We both know that it's wrong,
but it's much too strong to let it go now. And don't you compare our show to that bigot, the Grease Man.
What did you do?
That insults us.
Please, F you.
Don't you do that.
F you.
Oh, you're a big man. Big
I'm,
man.
I'm a very big man because you know where I am.
I guess we'll just have to go to higher...
There you go. Go for it, Mr. Jones.
Why don't you do that? And why don't you give your business phone number to me off the air and the name of your supervisor.
I don't have to do that because I'm the supervisor.
Oh, you're the mayor. I thought you said you were the vice president.
Who's the president?
I'm the president. That's correct.
Who's the president?
Who's the president?
Yeah, who's the president?
Don't answer a question with a question.
Mr. Davis.
Where's the office located at?
Downtown D.C., Connecticut Avenue.
What's the street address?
1120 Connecticut Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, you ought to know that if you have a real problem, there are proper ways to file your complaint.
Yeah, go ahead.
Right.
File away.
File away.
File away.
But don't call our show and compare us to the grease, man. That insults us.
Because you know we're not.
That insults us big time, because that crap people.
Wait, praying African-Americans. I'm sure you'll find out.
Right. Okay, gotcha.
Howard Sterns and the Donna Mikes are soon to be gone.
All right.
Right, and don't compare us to that piece of garbage either.
Okay, I won't.
We stand alone.
I don't think so. You're all shock jocks, but you're not shocking anymore.
Oh, that's right. And you're a big a-hole.
Okay, sir.
You hear me? I don't care what color you are, and I don't care what group you're pretending to be from. You're a jag-off.
Very good. Thank you, sir.
You're a jag-off.
Thank you.
You're a jag-off. You hear me?
He's gone.
He's gone. Okay.
Lots of misters.
Oh, someone's already star 6090. God bless that Charlie Broyle. He's a
We'll find out. We always like to check the legitimacy.
Oh, come on.
The legitimacy of certain callers.
From the NAACP.
Of course he wasn't.
Come on. We're not racist. Everybody listens to this show knows we're not racist.
Right. Absolutely. We're an equal opportunity offender.
Jesus Christ. Hi, Lisa.
Hey, guys. The call couldn't be star 69 because it was outside of our calling area.
So that would be outside of Washington, D.C.?
Right.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Gotcha.
Hello. Who knew?
Hey, no, this is Vincent from Reston.
Excuse me?
This is Vincent from Reston.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I went to a bodybuilding show down in Norfolk, and Lou Ferrigno was there.
Yeah?
And there's people standing right in front of him talking, and they had some lady beside him. Every time he said something, he could hear, so the lady would lean down in his ear and start talking in his ear.
Oh, he had much the same deal when he was on our show the last time.
Yeah, Dom was making fun of the voice, but, you know, the guy is deaf.
I mean, he's deaf.
I mean, you know. Yeah.
Hello. How are you? I mean, he's deaf.
That's probably why that was happening, sir.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hi.
That's three in a row. That's four in a row.
Geniuses.
Hi.
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 How are y'all doing?
We're doing great, thank you.
I want to talk about Mr. Jones there. I get to commute and listen to you for only an hour, and if he's sitting on there listening for 3 hours and counting up to 89, he must be a good listener.
I believe she's on our side.
I think so in some way. Yeah, well, thank you.
You know he can't be doing anything else but listening to y'all on the radio to
count. Oh, and listen, you know.
He's not real. He was not representing the group he said he was representing.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, you were talking earlier about the contest, you know, with the $10,000 an hour and the 10 cities and so on.
All right, jamming oldies, right.
Yeah, well, I'm not complaining, but it occurs to me that you got way more listeners than those 10 stations. It's harder to win a contest on your station than it would be to win the $10,000.
You're probably right, but the difference is we don't lie about it.
Right.
Where are you calling from?
Wichita.
Okay, listen. We don't try to make this show like it's a Wichita show. We say, guess what? It's a national show.
Yeah, well, I understand. It's a sleazy thing. It was humorous that they were doing this, and I thought, well, you know, I try to be the 100th caller. I probably got a better chance of winning $10,000, even if they don't play the station in my...
You probably do, because none of those jamming oldie stations have any ratings anyway.
That's true. It's just the way they portray it makes it sound like the individual market, but, you know, your point's well taken. You probably do have a better chance winning that $10,000 than getting through on this show a lot of the time.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello? Hola. All right, I'm trying. Hi, Don and Mike show.
Is anybody else out there with a good point?
Hello?
I'm calling from Curran. I'm from D.C.
Hi.
My name's Curran.
Hi, Curran.
Yeah, I'm calling about the guy that's called from the AANCP.
Yeah, right. Okay, listen.
Yeah.
The guy was not from...
No, obviously not, but I'm saying another point to that. If he really was, he said he was offended about the use of the word colored.
Yeah.
National Association for the Advancement of Colored People.
Yeah, but he was not from that. I think we've established that, sir. We don't need to be defended to a guy that wasn't even real.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hello.
Hello, you're on the air.
What's up, guys?
Hey, what's up?
For the guys who, for the gentleman who just said something beforehand, who said, talking about Mr. 40 is cool as crap.
Yes, Mr. Forty is a great guest on this show.
Fine.
Yes, he is. And his, I think he is.
You know, his,
the other,
everybody the other knows this. His ethnicity.
Ethnicity, right.
Has nothing to do with the fact that he's on the show. If he was a Chinese dude who drank 40 ounces of malt liquor a day and listened to the show, absolutely, we'd have him in here.
Yeah, how many people do we have sitting for the whole show? Come on.
Nobody.
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely. And for the guy who's monitoring you guys, now he can, like, nah, I don't even want to say it.
Well, he went, you know, I think we've established that he wasn't even legit.
He wasn't
legit.
Real.
You know, if he was legit, it would be one thing, but he's not legit.
Right. Hello, Don and Mike show. Jesus Christ.
Absolutely.
Give it up, everybody. Hello.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hi.
How's it going?
Turn your radio down.
Turn it down, please.
Got it.
Good. Now that you've accomplished that task.
How's it going?
Right. Very, very good. You're hello, Speedy.
What can we do for you?
I just want to know if you had any websites of Candace Bergman or Bushnell that was on yesterday.
Yeah, oh yeah, I do, as a matter
Candace
of fact.
Candace Bergman.
Yes, I do. Some very explicit photos of her. Do you have a pencil?
Let me see. Yeah, I sure do.
You are going to love this website.
The website is www.scatlover.com.
That what?
S-C-A-T.
Not fat lover, scat lover.
S-C-A-T-L-O-V-E-R.com. There's some great, very personal photos of Candace
Bushnell.
Really? Yes.
What kind of personal? Are they J-O photos?
You'll see. You'll see.
I bet you'll be able to J-O to them.
Now, be honest with the guy. You don't always see her face.
Yeah, sometimes you just see her body.
Right, exactly.
Do you know for sure it's her body then?
Yes.
Yes, we do. Yeah.
Yes, we do.
Okay.
Go enjoy yourself, sir.
I just want to give a shout-out to my friend Dan Topping from Burlington.
Okay, goodbye.
Dan Topping.
Goodbye.
Damn.
You know, now, Robbie, I think we're going to have to wait on the match game.
Oh, we'll do it tomorrow?
Yeah, we can do it tomorrow. I mean, look what time it is already.
Jeez.
The show is almost over.
This was the short break you were talking
about.
Yeah,
I know.
Blue.
This was supposed to be like a 3-minute break.
Well, we have Stossler. If you want, I can abbreviate it like they did in Match Game 78, and we can do 4-question rounds instead of 6-question rounds.
No. You worked hard on the questions. Just keep them until tomorrow.
They'll keep. I'll put them in Tupperware. Uh-oh, but here's something that won't keep.
Okay, Mike.
Oh, Mr. Rayburn.
That part was brought to you by Egars.com, the hottest cigar site on the web, www.egars.com.
Oh, God.
You know, tell Stossel I apologize. He had to wait for an hour.
Charlie.
Oh, Charlie Broyles got one for us.
Wow.
Charlie? www.egars.com.
Excellent.
Hottest cigar site on the planet.
I'm cornered. I don't want
to
move.
Welcome to Cabbage Row.
And here I am now trying to push one out. And I'm
you
sorry.
When you have a
careful
cold, you produce.
Guys, I got nothing for you today.
What'd you have for lunch?
Chicken.
And tomorrow you have your bean soup. Tomorrow you
yeah,
come out of the park.
Go for it.
Okay, well, listen, hold off on the match game stuff.
Okie doke.
We'll do that tomorrow. I think when we come back, oh, here's a great one for you. Okay, we've been sitting on this wacky story most of the week. This guy, you know, every once in a while, we get a nut above all other nuts.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you the headline with this guy. We get the press release.
Okay.
A guy in Knoxville, Tennessee. September 16th marked the 35th anniversary of the day that Hogan's Heroes made its debut on CBS.
Right.
Guy's a big Hogan's Heroes fan. So we
As
think,
we all are.
Hey, we're going to call him. We love Hogan's Heroes.
Mm-hmm.
Turns out, the guy is nuts.
Yeah. Out of his mind?
First off, he's one of these idiots that denies the Holocaust ever happened.
Oh, okay? My God.
And then second, he claims that he has evidence that if you want to know what World War II was really like, and this is the headline, Hogan's Heroes, more accurate than Schindler's List.
Oh, my God. Oh, let's have fun with this guy.
He says he's glad that Hogan's Heroes is still airing on cable TV to offset the damage done by what he calls a propaganda film like Schindler's List.
Oh, my God.
So let's go with him. Robbie, pack up your match game stuff for tomorrow.
Got it.
We'll play the match game tomorrow. We will be right back.
This is the Don and Mike. Crane enjoyed the Hollywood nightlife and soon found new ways to blend his Playboy lifestyle with his passion for cameras. The star began to videotape sexual encounters. As co-star Werner Klemperer recalls,
I don't know whether you'd call them pornographic, but they were erotic films of sex acts that he enjoyed filming.
Right.
Two horny, nasty guys waiting to please you.
Right.
Don Geronimo and Michael Mara.
Normal.
Mm-hmm. All right, the headline, Hogan's Heroes, more accurate than Schindler's List.
Hi.
Let's call Ernst Zundel.
Oh, boy.
From Knoxville, Tennessee.
Picture a guy like in that movie, The Producers. Remember Springtime for Hitler, the guy running around with a German hominid?
That's right. Springtime for Hitler.
Oh, this guy is out there.
In Germany. He claims that evidence suggests the relations between POWs and the Nazis were jovial.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
Sure.
Absolutely.
And that he's glad Hogan's Heroes is still around to offset the damage done by propaganda films like Schindler's List.
Oh, my God. Wow.
Ernst. That's his first name. E-R-N-S-T. Ernst.
I've reached 7-7.
No.
Well, we're going to get a machine.
No.
6. At the
beach. We can leave a message.
Yeah.
Hi, this is Werner Klemperer. I starred as Colonel Klink in Hogan's Heroes, and you're full of crap.
Hi, this is Major Hochstetter.
Major Hochstetter, this man claims that the relations between the captors and the prisoners in Nazi war camps was jovial.
Klink?
Yes, yes, Major Hochstetter.
Let me explain something to you.
Yes, Major Hochstetter.
Hogan's Heroes was a television show.
Yes, that's right.
Schindler's List was a movie that was made about the true horrors.
Yes, that's true, absolutely. This man is very crazy. We're leaving a message to tell him that. Hogan!
However, Ernst, if you would like to spew your propaganda on Zidane and Mike's show, we will call you sometime in the future.
Otherwise, have a pleasant day. Goodbye.
Hi. Auf Wiedersehen.
It's the same.
Bitteschön.
Dankeschön.
All right, well, listen, that happens.
That's it.
The guy sends us a press release.
Right.
And the guy's not there.
Not there.
I always got a backup story, though.
All right, very good.
And this comes from our Olympic file.
Ah.
A male escort in Sydney hopes that he can rub a few hunky Olympic athletes.
Hello.
The right way.
G'day.
The only name we have is Tom.
Tom?
He's named Tom.
All right.
And he says he's willing to trade adult massages in exchange for any Olympic medal.
Wow. Oh, you mean he wants to get a medal for giving massages?
No, he wants our athletes, or any athletes who have won medals, to come and like it.
Okay. So he just wants to give a mini massage to our Olympic champions.
He describes himself as hot, horny, and muscular, a Fiji Islander with sensuous lips.
Oh, yes.
And he plans to be fully booked during the Olympics. He admits that not all athletes may have the $67 U.S. he charges for a rubdown, which is why he will accept even a bronze medal.
Wow, wonderful.
We're going to call Tom now.
$67 U.S. Wow.
G'day.
Hello.
Tie me kangaroo down, mate.
And relief.
My name is Tom. Hey, Michael Johnson. I realize you just won the gold medal for the 400 meters.
Oh, man, nobody's ever home.
Ah, boo.
Please leave me a message after the tone.
That sounds like a woman.
Yeah, you know what? Maybe I misdialed. Let me try it again.
Or it could be Tom. Hello? Swim team. Men's swim team. Welcome to Tom's place.
Now, listen, you've got all of those medals around your neck. How about you just let one go right now? Lie down on my massage table.
I am a hot, horny, and muscular Fiji Islander with sensuous lips.
I plan to be fully booked during the Olympics.
Sounds like a Sydney, Australia ring, doesn't it?
Yeah, maybe I misdialed before.
G'day.
Hello, this is Tom.
Once a Charlie Swag man camped by a Billy Bong under the...
Hello? Hello, Tom.
Yep.
Tom, hi. This is the Don and Mike radio show. We are calling you from America. Do you mind going on the air with us for a second?
Hello?
Tom?
Yeah. Something's wrong. Are we on a cell here? Hello, Tom. Can you hear us?
Is this the guy who wants to trade massages for Olympic medals?
Do you mind going on the air with us, Tom?
Have you... Tom?
Yeah?
Tom, have you received any Olympic medals yet?
Yeah.
You have? Could you tell us the countries?
Hey, what time is it there in Sydney?
Future.
A time.
Time machine.
Uh-huh. Is this like a bad connection? What's going on? I hear like, yeah.
It's tomorrow morning at about 8:30.
8:30.
8:30 on Thursday morning.
Good morning, Tom.
My mind.
Hi, Tom. Tom? Hey, Tom?
Tom?
Are you hot, horny, and muscular? Hello? Tommy boy? Richard, don't hide from your feelings. Hello, Tom?
Tom? Yeah, maybe he nodded off again. I don't know.
I didn't hear a click. It doesn't sound like he hung up.
Are you still there, Tom? We're trying to talk to you here.
Tom, what country gave you their medals for RE?
Was it Romania? What is Romania? I picked a funny country.
Yes, you did.
I'm very proud of that. The Romanian weightlifting team is waiting outside.
Was it the Slavs?
Thomas?
Was it the Chinese?
No.
Bino Bao. I know there's something attractive about a Chinese man.
We are going over to Tom's to get our mini massages. We will give him our bronze medals in exchange for hand relief.
For the exploding tires. Hello, Tom. Did you talk to Moshe? What's that guy's name?
Masatoshi Ono. Chairman Bridgestone Firestone.
Did you talk to
Masatoshi Ono.
Masatoshi Ono?
Chairman Bridgestone Firestone. We are going to see Tom. We are airlifting more masseuses now from Japan.
Tom,
where are you? The connection is still there.
Yeah.
So I get the impression somebody's listening to us and maybe playing with us.
He's not hung up the phone.
Tom, we're going to have to hang up if you don't say something.
Tom, the way we understand it, you're offering sexual massages to male Olympians in return for medals they've won.
True?
Have you heard from Michael?
Did I hear left, or was that you left?
It was me, I'm sorry.
Did you hear from Michael Johnson of the United States? Have you met Bob Costas from NBC? He's not an athlete. He could probably get you a medal, though.
Have you been seen with Al Troutwig? I just like saying that. Al Troutwig. Now you're laughing. We hear you laughing there.
Hi. This is Al Troutwig from NBC Sports. I may appear to be a little looser today on the air. It's because I want to say hi to Tom, who gave me one hell of a rubdown last night.
I'd say it's the best Troutwig massage I've ever gotten.
Tom, is Pat O'Brien there with you?
Hey, Tom, really, are you there?
Yeah, say something if you're there, because we want to talk to you.
See, but I heard a click or something on the phone. He's still online.
I heard him laugh a minute ago. He's there. Tom, you're there. Let's listen. Let's listen for a second.
Tom.
See?
Tom?
He's there.
Okay, we're speaking Pig Latin. Id de uye, iv gay, ojables, ute olympians lay. And job A's? Bomber Hayes? Ingersay? In a Uki Day? Ostate Prey Ilking May?
Hey, I got to hold my buzz.
E bagging Tay?
Ah. Able Tay Hours, Shay?
Olden Gay Hours, Shay?
It'll Day?
Oopy Pay of Life?
Hey,
Oh, yeah, that's a good one, Buzz. Thank you. Elching Fay?
Aing Play? Idway Allsbay? Ickling Tay? Intag Skay? Immovable Ray?
Ingering Fay? Audux Bay?
Adological Skay? Isting Fay? Operophilia K?
Atskay Overlay? No, we're getting nothing from this guy.
Hot tub, hey?
It's a dry hole.
He didn't want to talk.
It's a dry hole.
All right, we're going to hang up now, Tom. Anything before we hang up?
You know, we'll try him again sometime in the future. The Olympics run till when, Buzz? Till Sunday?
Yes, I think so. Very good.
Until Sunday.
Okay. Bless you.
All right. Well, Tom, good luck with your quest to get Olympic medals in return for homosexual acts.
Bye, Tom.
Bye, Bay. Omo, hey.
No, he's not going to
say anything. He's not now. He's gone. All right, he's out. What's the buzz? Tell me what's happening. I'm going to go to Buzz now. Tell me what's happening. What's I'm still leaving Tom's line open, though.
Yeah, absolutely, eh?
We'll see what happens with him. We'll go to Buzz for news and comment. And, Rob, I guess, you know, play some serious calls to this this dumb Hogan's Heroes guy.
Got it.
And see if you can book him as a regular guest on the show.
Very good.
In a world where owning a radio was strictly forbidden,
right,
one man found a way to bring good news to his people.
That's Uzbay.
Uzbay.
He made it up.
And Buzz, what is your lead story tonight on the news and comments?
Tonight, Hollywood producer confesses about a 9-year-old boy.
Oh, edophile pay.
Illy Ray.
Yeah.
Ossel stay?
No, no.
Okay. No. Okay, everybody. No. Hey, Tom?
No, no.
All right, I'm hanging up on him. He's just not saying
anything. Oh, Tom's okay.
Okay, man, please stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
For news and comments.
For news and comments.
Coming up.
Coming
on
up.
The Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike Show. That was very...
professional.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Welcome back, everybody, and again, happy Thanksgiving from all of us here at the NFL today. Now, the IBM Power Poll, this picked by my guys here as always, Craig, Randy, Gary, Eric Mann, Bob Matina, our radio buddies, Don and Mike, everybody in on this one.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
Favorite turgid talkers, Don and Mike.
Now listen, sorry that we had to postpone it today. We will play Match Game 2000 on tomorrow's episode.
Yay. That'll be a blast.
Plus tomorrow, a pinch of loaf with Dennis Franz.
Sipowitz from NYPD Blue, Emmy Award winner, good guy.
Be a good one tomorrow. Leah just called to ask if we've plugged the website again. It's JackieAndLeah.com.
It's for jewelry, right? They sell jewelry on that website?
And bags, things like that.
Yes, they sent Frida some really nice stuff that she wears all the time. So go there, please.
Good.
Give them a lot of hits on that website. And now here is Guy Birdley.
Hi, Don and Mike. Hollywood producers came to Capitol Hill today apologetic. They had to be humble. Word had gotten out that they've tested violent movies on kids. In one case, the executives admitted testing The Fifth Element on a 9-year-old. Sony Pictures, which released the movie, calls it a judgment lapse and blames the independent company it hires to do the testing. But Texas Republican Kay Hutchinson told the movie makers it's time to turn things around.
Here we go.
This is Larry Michael, Westwood One, Notre Dame Radio.
No, that's not Kay.
That didn't sound like a woman at all.
Okay, hold on.
Charlene?
This is Kay Hutchinson from Texas.
Here we go.
Mr. Son of a Beach.
That's not even American.
Okay, here we go.
If you don't try to make this really work, that you are going to see some kind of legislation because parents are throwing up their hands in frustration.
As expected, the filmmakers promised to stop showing previews of grown-up films at G and some PG-rated movies.
That's just common sense, you know, and I hope that...
As we mentioned yesterday, that's the solution to the problem.
And if that's a big problem, I agree with it, but I mean, you know, it's... I hope that they follow along with all this crap, because if they do, I don't like... I just want this whole thing to go away.
Yes, please.
Because I'm getting tired of it, because it's dangerously close to what we all don't want, and that's censorship.
Scary talk. This just in, and I'll repeat it in the sports, but the Reds...
Incredible!
The Redskins have lost Corey Raymer for the season. More on that later. David Letterman show had to be edited last night because
you're strangely silent on that. It was Redskins news.
It was not
disappoint you now that you've turned around. You
not,
know.
Not a surprise to me.
Yeah, you knew it was going to happen.
I was out of the park last week. I was out of the park today. Mm-hmm. I know that he effed his knee up bad. He's going.
Who's the backup for Corey Raymer?
Mark Fisher.
Oh, you like him.
That'll show you the level of confidence I have. Well, he's the guy you might remember in the Dallas game who snapped the ball at about 10 feet over Brad Johnson's head.
Oh, my God.
Right.
Oh, yes.
Mark Fisher.
Oh, for screw-ups. Corey has surgery tomorrow.
David Letterman's show had to be edited last night because of a personal rant that ran the show into overtime. The rant covered a lot of ground. Just back from a short vacation, Letterman tore into the New York Times, Rush Limbaugh, and Jay Leno. He called the Times a rag, he called Limbaugh a bag of gas, and he called Leno the goofiest-looking man on TV.
I wish I'd seen it. Did they cut that part out?
No, none of this was cut out. I saw this, and I was astounded.
Was he really angry?
Yeah, partly. In fact, he mentioned legal action to one of the individuals mentioned in the story. Not Limbaugh or Leno, but somebody else who's involved in what you're about to hear. So, yeah, I think he's kind of serious about it.
I'll tell you right now, I'm just back from vacation, and I've got a real rant. We're going to run over. The show's going to run over, Paul.
Actually, I say last night, I watched it last night. This was from Monday night show, but it was in the papers today. The Times had quoted one of Dave's former writers, and this guy ought to be on the lookout. That former writer in this New York Times article described Letterman as a non-voting Republican. Letterman pulled out his voting record on Monday's show, which was reasonably impressive, and pointed out that he has declared no party affiliation. He said he sometimes votes for candidates from both parties. His comments about Limbaugh sprang from a newspaper quote from Dave calling the right-wing radio guy entertaining. Last night, Dave explained that further, calling Limbaugh an entertaining bag of gas.
Good for him.
He accused the Times of irresponsible reporting. Last month, he scolded the paper for a front-page story that said we're all in danger because the polar ice cap is melting. And the story turned out to be inaccurate, and Letterman was angry at the Times for frightening him needlessly.
Well, it sounds like it's kind of funny,
right,
too, the way
he
did
it. Was.
What do you say about Jay Leno?
Okay, here it is. As for Leno, his crime was being on the cover of the New York Times magazine in question. And that inspired Dave to say, until I saw this, I was under the impression I was the goofiest man on television. Goofiest looking man on television.
Hey, good for him. I like that.
Yeah, he's back with a vengeance.
Need more of that.
Hey, pal, it's Dave Letterman. I've got an important bulletin for you.
What?
I'm quitting my TV show.
Really?
Yeah. No,
really, really?
I'm going to be the new lead singer for Van Halen.
Oh, Dave, you old gas bag.
You may be hearing airline pilots speaking a new language. USA Today reports that pilots of the big four airlines are being coached on what to say when they make announcements on the PA and what not to say.
Hi, everybody, up from the cockpit. This is Pilot Elston. I just want to say, we're all gonna freaking die! God damn, I'm scared! Anybody that wants to come up the cockpit now and get laid, do it! Do it! Stewardesses, give out the booze!
Excuse me, miss? Can I get another double vodka, please?
Give Mike a double vodka!
Pilots who used to say turbulence now say bumpy air.
They've said that for a million years.
They've been told to say rain shower instead of thunderstorm.
That's good for me, phobic flyer. Like to hear rain shower instead of thunderstorm.
And one of the dirtiest words, late, has been changed to new arrival time. Much to my disappointment.
Incidentally, I've got to tell you, I haven't slept for 4 days. I've had 5 black beauties, and I'm seeing green men outside this plane. We're going to be late. You don't like it? Open the door and jump the F out. Thank you for flying United Airlines.
I know Don's not going to like this either. The pilots are being told to talk more on the PA.
How you doing? Hey, good looking.
The airlines think that'll make nervous flyers like Mike feel more at ease.
I dig that. I dig that. Listen to him. He just told us we're going to die.
Hi, everybody. I want to tell you something. My name is Mike. I'm your pilot. I am effed up out of my mind. God damn it, I'm horny. Hello, I'm Pilot Shannon. And for those who serve, I got the Pope Pilot Todd up here, and I tell you, it's Flush the Air Route Friday. We don't care where we're going. We're going to fly around and see. Miss Shannon. Come on over and see my joystick. Shut on. You're pilot in the morning.
Actually, pilots are being told to stay away from the humor. Like the pilot who, after some bumpy air, told the cabin, forgive me, I'm just learning.
See, I think that's fine.
I do too.
I hate that they're taking that away from those guys.
Sorry, folks. I was working at Jiffy Lube last week. I have no idea what the F I'm doing, but the good news is I'm putting on porno, and everybody gets a free drink. Send me your children. Much for the little girl.
Buzz, hold on.
Right. Oh, man.
Let's do a break.
Okay.
We will be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Are there times when you have to have fresh breath? They'll see you in Toledo. Right. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
As Pilot D is on today's flight.
Are there times when you have to have fresh breath?
He sounds like he knows what he's doing. Outrageous turbulence on a carefree, sugarless gum flight.
If you please. Let's go back to Buzz. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Donna, Mike. Here's a story about a couple of guys New Yorkers love to hate. A guy who insulted New Yorkers after getting out of prison for killing his baby's son may be going back to prison. Ryan Peterson got arrested in Shea Stadium last night for interfering with police. They were trying to arrest a friend of Ryan's for throwing a bottle at bigoted Braves pitcher John Rocker. The bottle missed Rocker, by the way. Peterson could go back to prison because he was still on probation when he was arrested last night.
Peterson, have Sloan out in front of the school jiffy quick.
Peterson spent only 18 months in prison for his ghastly crime and then insulted New Yorkers in a magazine article. He calls last night's arrest a misunderstanding.
It's a pisser. The Mets suck ass. Of course it's a misunderstanding. I'm Bill Peterson.
The Mets suck. They cannot beat the Braves. They cannot beat the Braves in Atlanta. They cannot beat the Braves at Shea. And then last night, you know, the incredible ape man, Rocker goes out the ninth, shuts him down. You know, I'm glad Rocker wasn't hit with the bottle. Yeah. They don't need... even an idiot like that doesn't need it.
Right. Right.
But... come on, Mets. Come on, Mets. And, you know, the Yankees lost again last night.
Yeah, the Yankees, since they, you know, what's their magic number, one or something like that?
Yeah,
you know,
magic number one.
But, I mean, they've limped in. They've limped in. They do what they always do. Where do you see them in the postseason? Where do you see the Yankees in the postseason? They do what they always do. They almost clinch it, then they kind of limp across the finish line, and then they come back. I say the Yankees are going to start winning games in the next couple of games, and then they're just going to go, bzzz. And it might just be the Braves and the Yankees in the World Series. Won't that be unusual?
That will not suck it up. The only good thing is we're on to New York this year, so at least we'll have a rooting interest.
Right.
That is if Ken doesn't fire us before the World Series.
I certainly hope that doesn't happen.
Me too.
Mm-hmm. How late is NBC at carrying the Olympic Games?
Very late. They're like a pregnant girl. There'll be no way to abort.
Dangerously late. They're so late, the commercials will bring you up to date faster. The New York Post points out that Monday night, the network aired the women's pole vault competition. And the paper says that about an hour before an American won the gold in that event, NBC ran a commercial for a credit card congratulating her.
Incredible!
Indeed. Check your home fire extinguishers. First Alert's recalling more than 600,000 of them for not working when you pull the trigger. The recalled extinguishers come in both red and white. The model numbers are many and complicated, so call the company's 800 number or visit their website to get the details.
Oh!
Yeah. There's that says it all.
Oh!
Yeah, I
get it.
There's only one trigger you have to worry about in your house. That's the trigger on that gun you got under your bed. That's all right, Hank.
Big Brother didn't get big ratings for CBS, but it did bring in a fairly new audience of younger viewers, and CBS likes that. So Big Brother is expected to return next summer with some changes.
You know, when we were watching the show last night...
And still with it. I give you credit for hanging with that show.
I don't know.
Well, what are they down to, like one person in the house?
They're down to four. Mm-hmm. They're going to lose one tonight.
Right.
The final episode is going to be Friday.
Ooh.
We watched it all the way through, and we were amazed last night when they said, if you're interested in joining the next Big Brother, please email your information to, you know, bigbrother.com.
Right. Well, next time the producer says he'll try to find housemates more inclined to confrontation and sex, he says he'll dump the long introductory episode at the beginning of the run.
Let's send in the videotape.
Instead of that long introductory episode, he says he'll just begin the series from the moment everybody walks into the house. He says he'd like to dump the Saturday version of the show and make it a five-night-a-week soap opera, and he says he'd like it to start about 90 minutes later to allow for a steamier storyline.
I'm not kidding. I got an idea of a guy to put in that house.
Who?
Do you find me, Lewis, annoying?
It would be killing. That would be his way to get back in our good graces. Get on that show.
Get on Big Brother. Are you listening, Lewis?
Lewis, if you really want to get back in favor with this show,
get on the new Big Brother show.
Come on, Lewis. Right now he's going nuts. He's going nuts right now. Where's my camera? All right, now here comes Charlie Broyhill.
Hi, Charlie.
Craig calls me every goddamn day.
Uh-oh.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Hi, Charlie.
He wants to know what he can do.
Hey, what can I do?
He can get into that Big Brother house.
That's what he can do.
All right, that's what I'm telling
him. Tell him to get on Big Brother, and he can get back on this show.
And he has to get to that house on his own.
Yes, right. No help from us.
Right.
Right.
Do you find me, Lewis, annoying?
And wait till the producers see his little Eddie Munster head.
Yeah, but you know what?
He might get in.
If they're looking for a guy...
For confrontation?
He's their man.
Greg got on Survivor. Yeah. No surprise here, but nobody's watching Survivor the second time around. It's only getting a fraction of the viewers the Olympics are getting. I watched a little bit last night, and it was great because they showed Sue and Kelly walking down the beach together, and then they interviewed Sue, and she's talking about how much she loves Kelly, and she's getting all emotional, and it was just so, you know
what a bullcrap it is.
And you know what's going to come later. It was great. In fact, if you combine the audience from all six of last week's episodes of Survivor, it would still be fewer people than watched one King of the Hill rerun last week.
Wow.
CBS says it doesn't think this is a bad omen for the next Survivor series, which kicks off after the Super Bowl.
Oh!
Thank you.
But I got to do this again. All sorry. Right. Got to do one more quick one. Be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What do you think of my spread, huh? Can you believe it? They used to test H-bombs on this beautiful piece of property.
Eddie, don't you worry about radiation.
All I know, Clark, is that my teeth have never been whiter and my garden is spitting out 50-pound tomatoes.
Two of God's little brown gems, Don and Mike.
Hi, Buzz. Hi, Don and Mike. As the Nashville Network, it didn't get a lot of viewers, but as the National Network, it's kicking some ass. When the WWF wrestling show...
Hey.
Moved this week.
You said ass.
Buzz said ass.
Yes, I did. In a good way. When the WWF wrestling show moved this week from TNN, or to TNN from the USA Network...
Where?
It moved to TNN from the USA Network.
Of course it did.
It took most of its viewers with it. 96% of them, to be exact.
Ooh.
Over 7 million people were watching TNN Monday night, and that was against the Olympics on NBC, which had its second highest rating evening to date that night.
They saw Shotgun Red?
I have no idea.
That's the puppet, right?
Yeah, I mean, if they don't have a...
Well, is that guy still on? What's his name?
What was that guy's name used to do that show?
I don't know.
He used to do, like, the Tonight Show for the National Network.
What was his name?
Bill Emery?
Ralph Emery. Ralph Emery and Shotgun Red.
He's excellent. Yeah. Very talented.
Ralph Emery has to be D-E-A-D.
No, I don't think he is.
You don't think so?
I think he's very O-L-D, but I don't think he's dead yet.
Man, what a great show. Quality entertainment. Awesome. And then that Crook and Chase crap.
Oh, this is kiss my ass. You know what?
Crash the Nashville.
No one could bring it out of the Mandrell sisters like Mr. Emery.
No, Emery was there. Was great. He did a hell of an interview with Boxcar Willie one time. When you had Boxcar Willie and Shotgun Red up there, you had two great hats, two great performers.
Well, if they're not gone now, they will be soon.
Mm-hmm.
CNN is owned by CBS, which also owns us.
Yay. Mainly what they want to do is add gays to the list of people covered in the law we already have. It's the 1968 law that makes assault and murder even more serious crimes when they're committed because of the victim's race or religion. President Clinton...
That's the Omara Bushnell law.
President Clinton says Republicans in Congress are afraid to add gays to that list because it might anger some of their voters. The Republican leader in the Senate calls the president's remarks demagoguery at its worst.
That's a nice 5-cent word.
Yeah.
Demagoguery. Wow.
Demagoguery. Pretty. While street criminals in this country use pit bulls and Rottweilers and even snakes and alligators to protect their livelihoods, in France, they take a different view.
Right.
Hey, can I just say,
they just lift up their arms.
I don't mention my family on the show very often, but Lou... My brother-in-law, if you're listening, that's a pit bull. You can call that dog any kind of dog you want to call it. But if the picture you showed me, Lou, I got to agree with Emily, that is a pit bull. Do not buy that dog.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
The bad guys are not using pit bulls in Paris.
Mm-hmm.
A British paper says youth gangs in that city have turned to monkeys. Attack monkeys.
Yeah, baby!
Quoting one Paris cop, they're ultra fashionable. Kids even carry baby monkeys around in diapers, but these animals can be very dangerous indeed.
Why would they do that? You know, I can't really just
put your arms up.
You're going to attack me? I will send you away, much like Stephen Le Pew.
Now, it's no surprise that the skunk was French.
Happy Le Pew. Bonjour.
Right. That was no accident. Hundreds of the monkeys have been imported illegally through Spain from Morocco, Algeria, and Gibraltar. They are Barbary apes, known for their powerful limbs, sharp teeth, and short tempers, especially outside their natural habitat. They have also been used recently for monkey fights.
Hey, I don't know if anybody besides me was watching the end of the Rams-Falcons game last week. I only watched because my whole fantasy team's on the Rams.
Right.
Madden 1-20 Rams, and nobody had to be watching it except people like me who are interested in the Rams.
Right.
Madden says, hey, when I leave Atlanta, I'm getting on the bus, and I'm driving up to D.C. for the Redskins-Tampa Bay game.
Right.
He says to Summerall, but I got to watch it when I get near D.C., because on I-95... they have monkeys that are throwing crab apples at the cars.
That's a good Madden story.
And he spent a good 3 or 4 plays...
talking about that?
Talking about how he invites the monkeys to throw crab apples at his car.
They haven't caught those monkeys, have they?
No, those monkeys are still at large.
Wow, still on the loose. Now, I don't want Robbie to get a big head over this, but a new study says people with big heads tend to be more intelligent, especially if you're measuring the width.
Way to go,
Wow, the width, Jesus. He's a genius. Science has known for some time that folks with bigger brains are often capable of being smarter than the rest of us.
Big width head.
Smart.
Rob.
Genii. Rob.
Now, measure my head. Look at my big head. My big, fat head.
Big, bulbous head.
Look at my head. I'm Rob. You want to see some real intellect?
What's that?
They don't know that I'm playing chess with Dave
Bowie.
I've got a big head.
What's your hat size again?
8 and 8.
8 and 8. There's a lot of brain juice.
Right.
Yeah. Genii.
Mm-hmm. All working for this show. Yeah, baby.
Right. But what people don't realize about it, Sam is an eggshell.
Oh, very fresh.
Yeah, he bumps up against the thing of a crack.
Ben Stevens, size 2. Definitely, size 2 head. He's got a Beetlejuice head.
Yeah, pimple head.
Like at the end of Beetlejuice, when Beetlejuice's body was real big and his head was real little.
Absolutely. There's information on that, too. But you know those little hats you used to get on G.I. Joe, those little plastic hats? They fit on Ken's head. Perfect fit, a little big. Like I said, we've known for some time that folks with bigger brains are capable of being smarter than the rest of us, but till now, nobody ever studied the actual head size issue.
You can take a NyQuil cap, a bottle of NyQuil,
right.
Uh-huh. On Ken Stevens, that's a party hat.
It's incredible.
That's the equivalent like of a guy taking a lampshade off a lamp at a party and putting it on his head.
I'm talking small.
Funny you should mention that. This new study also says people with pointy heads tend to be less intelligent than the average.
They're pointy heads. One more, Buzz. We got to go.
Let's make it this one. Live by the sword, die by the gun. In Crystal River, Florida, a man with a samurai sword walked into a pawn shop to pick up the handgun he'd paid for last week. But there was an argument of some kind, according to police, who say the pawn shop owner got stabbed in the chest in the course of this argument. The wounded owner then stumbled into the back room, got his own gun, and shot the samurai customer in the head. There's a moral here, and I'm sure you'll figure it out on your own.
Was Buck Henry one of those people?
Yeah, should have been.
Wasn't Buck Henry always in the samurai sketch with Belushi?
It used to be when Buck Henry was the number one guest.
Wow.
Back when the show was funny and they didn't need celebrity guests.
Right. Thank you, Buzz, for the news and the comments. Time now for a call number 100 Enterprise package we've selected especially for you. Call Lisa, phone number 877-365-3636.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
You know, when I went to school, there were men's residences, there were women's residences, and there was one co-ed dorm. But it is now the norm on most college campuses across this country that dormitories are co-educational, except in one state. There's one I have no idea what he's saying. Anyway, there's one campus where there are co-educational facilities.
Remember their secret. F like a whore, but look like the girl next door. Don Geronimo and Michael Mara.
You need him.
Oh, no. You want him, he's like a son to you. F you. Get on Big Brother. You get back on the show, Lewis. I've been a man of my word.
Yes, you have.
He just called off the air and I've hung up on him.
Yeah, I know you have. I know.
Hello, Lewis. On Friday, you could win $1,500 worth of stuff from any Sharper Image in America.
Hey, that's not a bad prize.
Courtesy of 15 Days at 007 on TBS Superstation. Don't miss the 15 Days at 007 every night through October 15. He's the man. He's the legend. He's 007. Only on TBS Superstation. We will discuss tomorrow how we're going to give away this prize on Friday.
Friday.
Plus tomorrow, match game, and Dennis Franz. Now, here is Buzz Girdley.
In sports, the Redskins have lost Corey Raymer for the season. As we mentioned, Raymer will have knee surgery tomorrow. He had problems during training camp and re-injured the knee while practicing last Thursday. New York Jets coach Al Groh and Vinny Testaverde say their squabble is over. The two clashed over the quarterback's one-series benching against Tampa Bay, but both men now say they won't let that fester. That's good, since the Jets are 4-0.
Fester! I'll tell you why that sucks.
Why?
If the original play sucks. I don't want to let it fester.
Uncle Fester.
I'm Uncle Fester. I've got a good idea. Look at that. I put the blindfold in my mouth. It sucks because... Oh, never mind. I was just going to say, you know, Vinny went out to call the play, and they called him off the field and put Lucas in.
Where's Gomez?
Fester.
A couple of Olympic upsets by the U.S. today. Wrestler Rulon Gardner beat the Russian guy who was, until today, considered the best ever. And the U.S. baseball team took the gold over a veteran team from Cuba.
Oh!
NBC now stands for the No Baseball Channel. The network that let NFL football get away has now let go of Major League Baseball. Fox played hardball and got the TV rights to carry the playoffs and the All-Star game in addition to the World Series and the Game of the Week. Fox paid $2.5 billion for that package.
Right. Worth it. My God.
Billion.
Worth it.
Under the old contract, Fox and NBC split the baseball shows. Indiana Pacers center Rick Smits announced his retirement today after 12 years in the NBA.
I like his brother Jimmy.
He's the fourth team member and third starter from last year's NBA Finals to leave the Pacers.
King of the Smiths.
I can't come up with another Smith.
I don't think there is a Smith.
S-M-I-T-S.
Smith.
King of the Smiths.
Schmitz.
And finally, this happens in stores and banks, but never at the zoo. This almost never happens. In Washington, D.C., two men with ski masks, one of them with a gun, robbed the office of the Smithsonian's National Zoo last night. Word is they got away with something like $20,000. Two employees got tied up, but nobody got hurt. Police say they're considering the possibility of an inside job. I suspect the monkeys. I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
Thank you, Buzz. monkeys. Thank you, Buzz. We got to go. We will be back tomorrow with an all-new episode of Call 100 time right now. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yes, I'm Caller 100.
Yeah, right, you are. What's your name?
Dusty.
Who?
Dusty.
Come again?
Dusty.
Yeah. Dusty, where are you from?
Hunter, Oklahoma.
Dusty, you are the 100th caller, and you have won the 15 Days of 007 prize pack. Don't miss 15 Days of 007 on TBS Superstation beginning this Sunday.
All right.
8 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock Central, only on TBS Superstation. Thank you for listening.
Thank you.
Thank you, my friend. Now, listen, tomorrow we'll be back with a new episode. We want to thank today Charlie Stossel, Movie Man, for coming on.
Yeah.
Also, Leah Remini from TV's King of Queens. Her show debuts Monday night, 8 o'clock.
Watch it. She's a great lady.
And it's JackieAndLeah.com to buy their Joan Rivers like jewelry.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And that's it. We'll see you tomorrow with a new episode. Thank you and good night, Buzz.
Thank you and good night, Don.
Thank you. Good night, Mike.
Thank you. Good night, Don.
And Robbie?
Yes, sir.
Throw your Santa Claus hat in the air.
All right, I'm going to do it.
Just like Sydney. Tyler Moore.
You might just make it after all.
Oh.
life.
Will you guys...
Right in your mouth.
Will you stop monkeying around? We will see you tomorrow.
Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Till we meet again. Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.
This is the Don and Mike Show.